News at 10 on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock. G7 foreign ministers say they're ready to support global energy supplies but have stopped short of committing to act in the Middle East. They've been meeting as the war between Iran, Israel and the US continues while condemning Tehran's retaliatory strikes on partner nations in the region. The group, which includes the UK, also discussed the partial closure of the Strait of Hormuz shipping route, which is a major passage for oil tankers. But the defence editor at The Economist, Shashank Joshi, has been telling LBC that supply of fuel is just one of the worries.
It's not just energy, by the way. I've got to remind people, it's also commodities. It's things like, you may not think you need very much, but, you know, fertilizers, aluminium, all these things our economy relies on indirectly for manufacturing, for production, for global supply chains. All of that stuff is stuck in the strait, not getting through.
Saudi Arabia has told Iran's military attaché and four other staff they must leave the kingdom within 24 hours. Its foreign ministry has cited what are being described as continued Iranian attacks on Saudi territory. Negotiators for Ukraine and the US have been holding more discussions in Florida on ending the four-year war with Russia. Representatives from the Kremlin were not present. More talks have been planned for this weekend. President Trump says he's glad the man who investigated whether his first election campaign colluded with Russia is dead after the death of Robert Mueller was announced. The former director of the FBI was 81 years old. Last year, his family said he was suffering from Parkinson's disease. Julie Serkin from NBC News says the president's comments have not been received well by some.
Republicans on Capitol Hill today in a rare Saturday work session, some of them already reacting to Robert Mueller's death, as are Democrats praising his public service, even amid political disagreements. Senator Tom Tillis, for example, telling my colleague that the president shouldn't say that and that Mueller deserves more respect than that, he said from the president.
And in sport and in the Premier League this evening, Leeds United have drawn 0-0 with Brentford in their late kickoff at Elland Road in the last few minutes. Earlier on in the day, Everton beat Chelsea 3-0 to improve their chances of qualifying for Europe. LBC weather, cloudy, breezy and some rain for Scotland and Northern Ireland overnight, but mostly clear across England and Wales. Patchy frost and fog could develop in places. We'll see a low of around 2 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Abbott.
Hello, everyone. Our president will start a war with Iran because he has absolutely no ability to negotiate. He's weak and he's ineffective. So the only way he figures that he's going to get reelected, and as sure as you're sitting there, is to start a war with Iran.
That's good to know, Donny. Thanks for the info. Thanks for the update, mate. Brits could see the Northern Lights for the second night in a row this evening. Known as the Roaring Borealis, the bright colours were last visible as far south as Norfolk, wherever that is. The lights reached the UK after high solar activity, which sent energy towards the Earth, which interacted with our atmosphere to produce the stunning colours in the skies.
Yowza.
Waves of charged particles which erupt from the sun's surface brought the Northern Lights to the UK yesterday after a strong geomagnetic storm caused by coronal mass ejections. As the particles approached to Earth. That was a sound of a coronal ejection yesterday. I recorded that myself. As the particles approach Earth, they interact with gathith in the atmosphere. Oxygen atoms produce a green colour, while nitrogen lights up as red, blue and pink. Educational, no?
No.
Forecasters at the Met Office Space Weather Prediction Centre, there is actually a thing called that, the Met Office Space Weather Prediction Centre, said the phenomenon, could be seen again this evening, all depending on whether the weather is hither or thither. And in the south, it's going to be clear, but to be clear, you still won't see it because it mostly happens in the north. Mostly. And in the north, the weather will be cloudy, so you won't see it there.
Damn it!
I've just completely wasted your time. Text from last night. Dave in Market Harbour says Margaret is correct. Who the hell's Margaret? Well, read on and you might find out. He says a certain chocolate company makes various chocolate bars using the same chocolate and they taste different. Whisper, Twirl, Flake, etc. Well, I don't know what a whisper is, but I would imagine it's not just chocolate. So don't you think that it's the thing within the chocolate that makes it taste different? I don't know what a twirl is either. I know what a flake is. Because only the crumbliest, flakiest chocolate tastes like chocolate never tasted before. And then, you know, the woman is doing a watercolour in the middle of a field in the rain. Idiot. Paul in Sales says, Trump changed the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America. I wonder if he wants to change the Strait of Hormuz to the Strait of Hummus. Just a thought, says Paul. I want you to keep thinking, Paul. Thinking is what you do best. Rob says, in addition for your Trumper bingo card, I believe there will soon be a selection of cosmetics pour les femmes et les hommes. Particularly les hommes. 50 shades of orange. Very, very rude. Nick in the North Sea says, I know, in the North Sea. He says, I know what you're saying about Farage, but what else can we do? The Greens are clearly insane. The Liberals, Advance and your party are an irrelevance. Labour and the Tories are just the same old rubbish that we've always had and will never change. And Restore is far too extreme. So what's the alternative? I really wish somebody would tell me, because if they don't, then Farage is going to get my vote. Hey, Nick, just try not voting. Is not voting an option? Think about it.
Don't vote for Reform. It's dangerous. They're a mad, bad, far-right, racist party.
There you go. From the horse's mouth.
I'm immensely grateful to you for everything you've done in British politics over the last few years. I used to be an ardent Remainer. I voted Remain. I believed in the European project. Mm-hmm. I believed that staying in the European Union was the best thing for us. And then something happened and something monumental happened. It completely changed my opinion on the whole situation.
What was that monumental thing, Mark?
I was kicked in the head by a horse.
Right, very good. Okay, fine. Thank you.
No, thank you, Nige. Oldham, hello, Charles.
You all right?
Yeah.
I've got a problem, Nick.
Oh, really? What's your issue?
Right. I've got a family relative who needs an hearing aid, yeah?
What?
So, and he's refusing to get it because he said it was that big, had solar powers on it, and looked like a tank. So, I've come to the conclusion, yeah, is we can mine it down the ear and smoothing it to the brain, get all the air and the pressure, get it all out.
Oh, no, we've run out of time on that call. God, I hate when that happens. Emma in Fulham says, I've just come back from 5 days in the Algarve, which poked me right up after what felt like the longest spell of grey, awful London weather. But I couldn't help thinking, as I enjoyed my Carol McGiffin-style five-star hotel in the sun, that you basically never take any holidays. Surely it's time for another 3 days in Madrid or similar, but maybe this time take yourself out for dinner. Yeah, but then I'd have me as a dinner date. No, 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 no.
No.
No. I hate my own company. Josie said, these are her messages from last night. Josie says, in amongst my post today was a letter from the Conservative Party. I'm not a Tory voter, even though I am in my 70s. Don't take much notice of said letter, but it was addressed to me by my full Christian name, which is blooming cheeky. They don't even know me. But what made me spit chips was that there was a direct debit form enclosed for me to set up a payment to said party. Are they having a laugh? They've screwed enough dosh out of me over the past few years. Watch out, begging letters about, says Josie. Huh. Well, I'm kind of surprised by that. I mean, isn't that the party that gets most of its money from bazillionaires? I would have thought that it'd be the Labour Party that would be out there, you know, asking for some spare change, please. I think the Tories are well taken care of. Chris says, totally behind the unicorn, bumblebee, duck-billed platypus on banknotes. Oh, did you hear about the Donald Trump gold coin? I'll come to that in a minute. Oh, there's so much to get through. Let's talk about Iran. Would you like to hear me talk about Iran?
No.
Donald Trump has said he's considering winding down strikes on Iran and ending the war in the Middle East as he gets one step closer to destroying Tehran's military capabilities.
We won bigly when we obliterated Iran's nuclear program, and then we re-won and we obliterated it again. And I've won again for the third time, which is nice.
The president wrote in Truth Social on Friday evening, "We're getting very close to meeting our objectives."
Our main objective is to think of some objectives, which we're doing very strongly.
He wrote, "We're getting very close to meeting our objectives as we consider winding down our great military efforts in the Middle East with respect to the terrorist regime of Iran." Number one, completely degrading Iranian missile capability, launches, and everything else pertaining to them. He didn't write this. Two, destroying Iran's defense industrial base. Three, eliminating their navy and air force, including anti-aircraft weaponry. And four, never allowing Iran to get even close to nuclear capability and always being in a position where the USA can quickly and powerfully react to such a situation should it take place. And he's getting very, very close to all of those objectives, which is nice, except that Iran is still firing missiles. America successfully destroyed a girls' school. We don't know about their defense industrial base. They don't need a navy to blockade the Bend of Hormuz. And Iran still has nuclear material because one Donald Trump tore up the deal that prevented them from having that. You know, other than that, he's a smart person.
I'm a very stable genius.
A very stable genius. In his post on Friday, Trump added a fifth objective, protecting at the highest level our Middle Eastern allies, Israel, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, Kuwait, and others. He just sort of ran out. All of which, by the way, are being hit by drones and missiles and the economic collapse of the area due to the Trump or thin skin not having achieved any of the previously mentioned objectives.
I won very bigly huge.
No one ever won like I did, he said, which is a tremendous thing, and we're seeing numbers like we've never seen before with relation to me, said Donald Trump. And now he's broken it. He wants us to fix it, like he's a toddler that smashed up his birthday present and wants mummy to get him another one. Trump posted the Hormuz Strait will have to be guarded and policed as necessary by other nations who use it. The United States does not. Can you believe this guy? And yes, by the way, the United States does use the Strait of Hormuz because the price of petrol in America has gone up 30% since he started this war. America needs the Bend of Hormuz just as much as we do. It's all connected, you demented Oompa Loompa. Trump posted, "If asked, we will help these countries in their Hormuz efforts, but it shouldn't be necessary once Iran's threat is eradicated." Oh, he's going to help us to help him. It don't make no never mind. Iran's threat's going to be there no matter how many girls' schools America bombs. The Bend of Hormuz is 33 kilometres wide. Iran could spit that far. All it's got to do is threaten to bomb tankers and insurance companies won't insure them, so no ships will sail. And it doesn't matter how many times President Bonespurs calls people chicken for not sailing through a war zone that he created. Nothing chickenish about it. And in other news, Trump has demanded another $200 billion from Congress to buy stuff that goes boom. Which, at the current rate of spending, is another 3 months of blowing stuff up. And by the way, $200 billion is over four times the amount that U.S. foreign aid was cut by. Which has meant that about 3 million of the world's poorest people will die per year because the food and medicine that they were depending on was cut off. On the orders of the world's worst human, by the world's richest man, who then danced about on stage to celebrate and can't figure out why people don't like him. What a way to run a planet, eh?
Dreadful.
0345-6060-973. You can text 84850. Email nicka@lbc.co.uk. If you are on WhatsApp, it's the same number as the phone, 0345-6060-973. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10, Nick Abbott, LBC.
This is LBC.
A spectacle far beyond
your imagination. Be amazed. Be moved. Be there. For an experience that will stay with you forever. Disney's The Lion King at London's Lyceum Theatre. Book now at thelionking.co.uk.
Interactive Investor would like to say welcome and thank you. Welcome to all our new investors who joined us over the past few months. And thank you to a certain competitor that decided to change their fee structure and sent them all our way. Visit Interactive Investor to see what you could save with our low flat fee. Interactive Investor. I think, therefore I. Remember, when investing, your capital is at risk.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Shut up. I can't. Messages from last night. Simon says that Soylent Green is a dystopian sci-fi film set in a 2022 New York City, plagued by severe overpopulation, environmental collapse and extreme wealth inequality. The plot follows Detective Thorne, Charlton Heston, as he uncovers that popular government-rationed food product, Soylent Green, is actually made from processed human corpses. Well, don't tell us. Spoiler alert. You're eating people.
They're eating the people that live there. And this is what's happening in our country.
That's what's happening in our country. Wanstead, hello, Sophie.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
I am great, mate.
So this is a continuation of yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Because, remember, I ordered two lipsticks and a cheer.
And a cheer?
Anyway, a cheer, a cheer.
A cheer?
Mm.
What, like, hooray?
A cheer.
A cheer?
Mm.
Spell it.
C-H-A-I-R.
A chair.
Yeah, do you know, frequently people think I'm from New Zealand because of the way I pronounce certain words.
Your pronunciation?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of chair did you order?
So, an office chair, but London chair,
well,
not...
What kind of chair?
An office chair, but my second lipstick came today. So
yeah, never mind about that. What kind of an office chair is it?
It had six wheels. It has six wheels on the bottom.
That's probably one too many wheels.
But the thing is, I can't even change a light bulb, to be honest. I've only ever done two. I barely can do anything technical. And the chair came, and obviously I had to assemble it.
Obviously.
And I managed to. I was so proud of myself.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, can I speak to you about potatoes after this chair? And
you need practice in saying the word chair, because it really sounds like you're saying cheer.
Cheer.
Chair.
Mm.
Not cheer. Cheer is hooray. Chair is what you sit on.
Chair.
Say air.
Air.
Now put a ch in front of it.
Chair.
No.
Chair.
No, okay, stop cheer. Saying it. The thing you sit on, just say that.
The thing I put my bottom on, the thing I sit on.
Please.
So, sorry, I wasn't being rude. I apologise.
A little bit. A little bit rude, yeah.
So you
managed to assemble it with an Allen key or one of those?
So I did an Allen ask key. A friend if that's what it was called. It is an Allen key, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The thing that looks like an L shape.
What, for putting your chair together?
Chair. Mm-hmm. It took 2 hours. And then, of course, I
was so exhausted. 2 hours? It took you 2 hours to put a chair together?
I was listening to LBC, so it was a bit distracting.
Oh, I see. It's my fault.
I put it together, and then, of course, I completely forgot that laminate flooring and wheelie chairs are not a good combination.
No, they are a good combination. Carpets is what you don't want.
No, exactly. Exactly, you don't want dust bites. But because this is the first time I've had this kind of chair in my home, And it was a little bit elevated and high, and I couldn't get it to go back down. Anyway, I tried
There's
to
a lever.
It.
There's a lever on the side of the chair. You pull it up and you go down.
I didn't know you pull it up.
Read the instructions?
Well, I nearly finished assembling it when I found the instructions. And then, so I was pushing it down.
Well, you should have been pulling it up. Yeah, you were pushing, you should have been pulling.
So it was in the middle, of the kitchen. And I attempted to sit on it, and it went flying across the laminate floor, and I fell on my, sorry, I'm going to mention it again.
Your bottom
I fell
again.
On my bottom,
right.
Put my hands out to break my fall, and of course,
Broke your hands.
Were a bit sore. Yeah. No, oh, God forbid. My hands are a bit sore for a few hours. But I managed to... I asked the caretaker at
and
work...
To, and to think that the people starving in Sudan are complaining. You've got sore hands.
I know. These are first world problems. But when I asked the caretaker in school, he said, you don't put the lever down, you pull it up.
Pull it up, you idiot. Of course you do.
Yes. So when you want the chair to go lower,
you
sit on the chair and you pull it up.
Yeah, pull up to go lower. Yeah.
Yes, but when you want to pull it up, you stand up,
get off it, and then pull it up. Yeah, and like a chair. I can't believe you've lived to whatever age you are, Sophie. I'll assume that you're above the age of when you count your age in months. And you don't know how to operate a chair.
I know, I'm sorry. But the other thing is, the chair, I think these delivery companies need to be liable for lost packages, because they delivered it on Tuesday and I was anxiously tracking, quote unquote, my parcel.
Yeah.
And it kept telling me that it had arrived,
mm-hmm.
and I looked all around the perimeter of the building
for your
and
cheer.
It wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
For my cheer.
No cheer here, dear.
What they'd done is thrown it under a bush, underneath the hedge and the bush.
Is that not where you asked them to put it?
No, and they didn't send me a picture of where they'd put it. So it had just lain there for a night and a day.
Wow. Well, that is very, very poor delivery.
Exactly.
Yeah, I wouldn't be happy with that at all.
I was really, and also when I tried to ring them, these companies make it as hard as they can for you to contact them.
I can't believe that you actually called them. You call them up on the phone? Who does that anymore?
No, I got an automated service, and then when I got to the last option, having gone through this maze of other options,
mm-hmm.
they said, your package has been delivered, goodbye.
Yeah, it's under a hedge. We don't really know where, but it's just, go look in nature. It's out there somewhere.
Exactly. Now, one more thing. You've been generous with the time.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
That's right.
So, someone texts and they said the same chocolate is used to make different chocolate bars.
Mm.
And I've always wondered, I live on my own, so I don't really buy potatoes anymore because they come in the big bags.
You live on your own, so you don't buy potatoes anymore.
What I mean is... They're in a bag, and there are too many for me. So
you ordered some, and they said it's under a bush, or it's in a field. You go pick them yourself.
No, but anyway, the potatoes. When I buy potatoes, I buy two in a pack, and I have one as a baked potato, then I make another one as a baked potato.
And now, hang on a minute, go a bit slower, because I'm writing this down. Yeah, one as a baked potato. Yeah, go on.
But what I wanted to say was that man was exactly right. You use the same ingredient and it tastes different according to the shape.
You don't know that. You don't know that they're making the various chocolate things with the same chocolate. Could be different recipes. You've got no idea accusing the company of using the same chocolate for all of its products.
No, I'm not saying they do, but look, I've got an experiment for you. I challenge London to do this. If you chop up a potato into wedges a tiny bit of seasoning and olive oil or whatever you put in it,
yeah.
put it in the oven mm-hmm. alongside potatoes cut in half and made into the roast potato shape. If you take them out of the oven, they will taste completely different.
Right.
Same potato, same seasoning, same oil, everything. They will taste completely... Now, explain why, please.
Well, let me ask you this, Sophie. Are you sitting comfortably?
I'm lying down.
Lying down, yeah. nursing your bruises, yeah. Okay, well, leave it with me, Sophie, and I'll have a full report on your desk first thing in the morning. Thanks for, whatever that was. Zach says... Nick, I feel it's my duty to inform you that James O'Brien is trying to steal your act.
What?
Is he at least paying you royalties yet? Got a lot of spy reports about that. It's very concerning. I've got no idea what it is that you're accusing him of doing, but, it doesn't prevent me from being very alarmed. Jake says, has the Trump finally reached a level of absurdity that even your soundboard can't keep up with? I'm waiting for the moment you just play the Oh No clip on a 3-hour loop and go to the pub. That's a good idea. Let's see now. Somerset. Hello, John.
Hello, Nick. Can you hear me?
No.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yes, terrible.
How are you today?
Very well, thanks.
Excellent. I've had a fantastic day myself.
Fantastic?
Yeah.
What, like science fiction?
Like, absolutely. Almost like 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Wow.
Yowza.
That sounds great.
It's been as good as triangular chocolate.
Triangular chocolate? Well, the one that comes in a green wrapper in the tub that you only have at Christmas?
Isn't that Aero? I'm talking about Toblerone.
Oh, those. Right. Well, it's the nougaty filling that, whatever it's mixed up with. That's what makes a Toblerone so yummily delicious.
Do you remember the theme tune, the advert, the Toblerone advert?
No.
My friend can sing it.
Right. Well, put them on the phone.
Well, he's not here, unfortunately. He doesn't live in my house. But, It goes something like, it's time.
Yeah, okay, no singing. 0345-6060-973. Two in a row on the Nicky Abbott Show, can you believe that? Jerry says, on BBC News tonight, a Danish minister said that a few weeks back, Danish military and special forces were sent to Greenland to take up defensive positions in anticipation of hair pieces threats. It's much funnier written down, hair piece. Hair pieces threats to invade the island and return fire if necessary. Add it to Trump's list of Colombia and Cuba, and I feel we are next on the list. Yeah, the Danish military was going to blow up the airport. Well, not the airport itself. They were going to blow up the landing strips so that the Americans couldn't land, or they couldn't refuel or get more bombs and bullets. That's where we are now. Denmark is taking a protective position against the United States of America, for crying out loud. What a way to run a planet, eh?
Dreadful.
Shocking. Alison says, I needed to order a replacement of my driver's license the other day. Being a millennial, I was thinking to go to the post office and pick up a form, but actually online bio scan of my face on the government website and tap the camera of my phone on my passport, chip and done, easy peasy, says Alison. Alison, can I interest you in some punctuation, like a comma or two, for instance, might be a good idea. I've done more or less the same kind of thing myself, and I am amazed at how easy it is. I mean, sometimes you do think, wow, things have really got better than they used to be. Because that's true. You used to have to go to the post office, you fill out a form, you have to go to one of them photo me booths or go to a Snappy Snap, something like that, and then they would take a photograph of you and, it would look abysmal. But you're stuck with it for 10 years and then you take the form back to the post office and they'll staple it to the form and you've got to make sure you get the right amount of money and all of that jazz. Take days. Now you can do it in about 10 seconds flat. Yeah, same with rail cards and all of that stuff. MOTs now, much, much easier. So a lot of things are, vastly improved by the World Wide Way. Some things aren't. Some things are, some things aren't. One step forward, one step back. And here we are, where we started. Tina says, I had a thought. Maybe to get out of the visit, the King could set... This is the visit of His Majesty the King. He's going to America. Tina says, I had a thought. Maybe to get out of the visit, the King could say, I'll make a special visit to enjoy your fabulous Golden Ballroom's grand opening. And that's never going to happen, and Trump may swallow that. I think it is going to happen. I think it's one of his top priorities.
It's the country's number one priority.
It's that country's number one priority. Still not missing you, Fishy Sunak, by the way. I bet you'd forgotten he existed. He used to be the Prime Minister of this country. Can you believe that?
No.
0345-6060-973. I wonder what happened to him. Somebody should maybe go round one of his houses. He might be buried under a mound of cashmere hoodies. Trying to fight his way out and failing. 0345-6060-973. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10. Nick Abbott, LBC. It's 10:30. The news headlines with Tim Daly.
G7 foreign ministers say they're ready to support global energy supplies but have stopped short of giving any commitment to act in the Middle East. They've been meeting as the war between Iran, Israel and the US continues while condemning Tehran's retaliatory strikes. Saudi Arabia has told Iran's military attaché and four other staff they must leave the kingdom within 24 hours. Its foreign ministry has cited what are being described as continued Iranian attacks on Saudi territory. And negotiators for Ukraine and the US have been holding more discussions in Florida on ending the four-year war with Russia. Representatives from the Kremlin were not present. LBC weather, cloudy, breezy and some rain for Scotland and Northern Ireland overnight. Mostly clear for England and Wales, but there could be patchy frost and fog. We'll see a low of around 2 degrees.
This is LBC.
Way up here. Right at the edge of oxygen. In space. That's where you'll find us. O2 Satellite keeps you connected in more places than ever before. So even when you're far from everything, you won't have to miss a thing. Introducing O2 Satellite. O2. Essential for living.
30-day rolling add-on. £3 per month. Device type, app, location and other restrictions apply. See odoo.co.uk/terms.
Hi. I'm looking for a pair of jeans.
Right. Low slung, slouchy, wide leg, bower leg, curved leg, flared, straight or skinny.
Blue?
Fashion. It's hard to keep on top of. Other things, like the upcoming changes to renting, are a bit easier. If you are a landlord and you have existing tenants, you must send them a copy of the government's information sheet by the 31st of May, or risk a fine. Find out more at gov.uk/renting-is-changing.
When it comes to retirement advice, the last thing you want is to be put in a bucket. Seen as this type of person, or that type of person. At Fisher Investments UK, we never put you in a bucket. We always tailor retirement advice that's just right for you. Fisher Investments UK. Retirement advice that's as individual as you are. Learn more at fisherinvestments.co.uk. Investing involves the risk of loss. Fisher Investments UK is regulated by the UK Financial Conduct Authority.
This is LBC with Nick Abbott. Call 0345 6060973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
Thank you for holding. Your call is important to us.
Yes, Jeff, your call is important to us.
I know it is. Listen, assessment of the situation,
yes.
Okay? There's talks going on in the Gulf between Iran and everybody else about non-enrichment of uranium, about development of nuclear weapons, mm-hmm. and they're coming to an agreement.
Right. They did that already, and then Donald Trump barged into the room and tore that agreement up because it had Obakarama's signature on it. You remember Obakarama, don't you?
Yeah.
Back when the planet made sense, yeah.
That was then, this is now. Mm. So they go in to sign another one of those.
Another one, right.
Israel finds out, Netanyahu finds out. They have an emergency meeting, okay? Strike now is our only chance to stop this. And they hit Tehran. Somewhere in the meantime, Trump gets involved and joins in.
I don't think it was somewhere in the meantime. I think it was right there, right at the beginning, wasn't he? At the at the starting gun. Yeah, he was ready to burst off the blocks. Can you imagine that?
Yeah, but this is the way it seems that I'm reading it. Now, everybody that has any intelligence is now saying it's unwinnable. They can't win.
Yeah.
The space of our moves, they'll never get it open, no matter what they do.
Well, they'll get it open when Iran says that it'll be open. I mean, you know, it's like, what is it, like 15 mile wide or something like that. They could throw rocks that far.
And then they are going to have to agree to it. That means there's got to be talks, there's got to be capitulation on the American side. Yeah.
Donald Trump will never say that, though. He will say, "I've won." He will stand in the burning wreckage of the American economy and says, "Look, I won."
Yeah. Well, now that's my assessment of it all, and mine is as good as anybody else.
That is true. Yeah. It's as worthless as anybody else's opinion. That's correct.
I've had a terrible week. The fax machine, it's just playing up all
fax,
the time.
The fax machine? Jeff, step into the 1980s. You never know, you might like it. Fax? Who uses a fax machine?
Well, we got a generator and it produces electricity and it runs the fax machine. and how we get the names off it. And what I'm saying to you is that I suppose it's good news for you. My appeal against the decision not to ban you because it was vindictive legislation. Mm-hmm.
That's right,
You can now go there. I know, you're going to whine. I don't go there, I don't go. No. But, you know, you're free to go.
If I'm in the location, then I certainly will visit the duck and cuckoo. Whatever it's called.
Yes, it's the sort of a ducky sort of thing. Yeah. It's, but anyway, the thing is, for the first time in the history of Bannon, we banned Farage twice.
Twice?
Now, yeah, well, it's a gesture.
Right.
Because, you know, you're going to need not come once. But just in case, we've banned him twice.
Yes. Well, that just seems, that seems like a sensible precaution.
the point being that, you know, it's only fair.
Yeah.
That's
I think for his own safety, he thinking that people who speak Welsh are speaking a foreign language.
That was quite something.
Yeah.
The thing is, we are trying to. I am finding that this is genuine. I'm trying to be serious now. Do you know that? In this, I don't know what's happening in Scotland. I phone a few people I know up there, and they seem to be finding the same thing. People are definitely, no matter what political persuasion they are, they are going to vote where they think is the best place to put it to stop reform. That's what I'm finding. So
yes, there's a lot of that. I think there's a lot of people who would ordinarily not be interested in tactical voting who are thinking, well, you know what, this time it's important. This time we have to keep out certain elements. And, we'll hold our nose and vote for the groovy greenies.
Groovy.
Or, you know, somebody like that.
Well, the polls are showing that in Wales, anyway.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about the Scottish ones. But, and of course, you've got a swathe of English local authorities that are going to have to make that decision.
Swathe. Yeah, there's never any good news in a sentence that contains the word swathe.
Well, I'm looking, don't forget where I am, I'm looking at a swathe of England.
Right.
You know, because you can see 70 miles from the old Goose and Cuckoo.
Uh-huh.
And the thing is, you know, I feel sometimes sorry for you, but I'm feeling, you know...
Well, you don't need your pity, Jeff. Doing just fine. All right, I've got to go, but thanks for that.
So long.
All right, cheers. So Vietnam is telling people to work from home. The Philippines and Pakistan are floating four-day work weeks. Denmark's energy minister is begging citizens not to drive unless absolutely necessary. Countries across Asia have less than 2 months of fuel reserves left. Some have less than 20 days. It's all going very well, Mr. President, sir.
Don't be rude.
And you have to wonder why any of this is happening at all. Because it's not for the reasons stated, that Iraq was 2 weeks away from getting a nuclear weapon. The usual suspects have been saying that Iran is 2 weeks away from getting a nuclear weapon for about 10 years now. And it's not because Iran was a threat to the United States of America, because the phone call is coming from inside the house.
Oh, shut up!
And it was all going so well. And we know that because our man was there when they were jaw-jawing before all of the war-warring. Britain's National Security Advisor, Jonathan Powell, attended the final talks between the US and Iran and judged that the offer made by Tehran on its nuclear program was significant enough to prevent a rush to war. And Donald Trump said,
I'll bring us into war.
Britain's National Security Advisor, Jonathan Powell, attended the final talks between the US and Iran. And he thought progress had been made in Geneva in late February and that the deal proposed by Iran was surprising and not in a bad way. And 2 days after the talks ended, and after a date had been agreed for a further round of talks in Vienna, the US and Israel launched an attack on Iran. Surprise! Britain's National Security Advisor Jonathan Powell was in the building at Oman's ambassadorial residence in Geneva, acting as an advisor, reflecting widespread concern about the US expertise on the talks, represented by Donald Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner. He looks like he looks like Jacob Rees-Mogg grown up son, you know?
I don't know anything.
He's so white, he's almost see-through. Anyway, he was there. I don't know what the hell he has to do with anything. And Steve Witless, Trump's special envoy on several issues. Kushner and Witless had invited Rafael Grossi, the director of the International Atomic Energy Agency, to the Geneva talks to provide, technical expertise. Although Kushner would later claim that he and Witkoff had, quotes, a pretty deep understanding of the issues that matter in this. Nobody knows more about all things nuclear than me. And the British team expected the next round of negotiations to go ahead on the basis of the progress in Geneva. And the next round of talks were due to take place in Geneva on Monday, the 2nd of March. But it never happened, because the US and Israel launched their all-out attack 2 days later. So why did they do that? And our man, Britain's National Security Advisor, Jonathan Powell, his attendance at the Geneva talks, as well as at a previous set of meetings earlier in the month in the Swiss city, helps in part to explain the UK government's reluctance to back the US attack on Iran. We saw no compelling evidence of an imminent threat of an Iranian missile attack on Europe or of Iran securing a nuclear weapon. Instead, the UK regarded the attack by the US and Israel as unlawful and premature, since our man who was there, Jonathan Powell, believed that the path remained open to a negotiated solution to the long-running issue of how Iran could reassure the US that it was not seeking a nuclear weapon. Although, these days, you'd think it would be, might be justified to be the other way around. Maybe Iran should be assured that the US was keeping the big nuclear button away from, you-know-who. UK officials have subsequently explained that they were impressed that Iran was prepared for the deal to be permanent, and unlike the 2015 nuclear agreement, would not have cut-off dates or sunset clauses ending the restrictions on its program. Iran had also agreed to down-blend the 440-kilogram stockpile of highly enriched uranium under the supervision of the International Atomic Energy Agency inside Iran. It agreed no stockpiles of highly enriched uranium would be built up in the future, and all of that came to nothing, because certain individuals wanted to have a little war, something exciting. You're probably to take our minds off you-know-what.
Are you still talking about Jeffrey Epstein?
Yeah, still doing that, yeah. In practice, Iran had no means to enrich domestically their nuclear material because of the bombing of its enrichment plants in 2025. You know, when Donald Trump totally obliterated it and then decided he needed to totally re-obliterate it. If at once you succeed, then do it again, because, you know, that makes sense. Iran had also made an offer of what the mediators described as an economic bonanza, with the US being given the chance to participate in a future civil nuclear program. Lot of money, Donnie. But given America everything it wanted and more was not enough for the peace president. And nobody loves peace more than he does. And he'll kill anyone who says otherwise. 0345-6060-973 LBC.
Sunday with Lewis Goodall.
If Trump cannot keep this narrow stretch of waterway open with the full might of the American military, then that will not only represent a humbling of his own power, but of America's itself.
Hear every side of the story.
Are there any circumstances where the British government would reconsider your policy of refusing to allow new exploration licenses for oil and gas in the North Sea?
New exploration licenses won't cut the price.
No.
But you would get revenue from it.
Wait, 1 second.
They won't make any material difference to supply either.
We would get tax revenue from it, which you could then use to help fund your green energy transition.
It will be very, very marginal.
There is revenue you're leaving in the ground. That is undeniable.
Whoops. Sunday with Lewis Goodall. Sunday morning from 10. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
You've probably been with the same energy supplier for decades. And why wouldn't you be? Loyalty matters. But lately, bigger hasn't always felt better. You've probably dealt with long waits and endless automated menus in search of someone who can actually help. Octopus Energy is now Britain's biggest energy supplier, trusted by over 8 million customers, because we do things differently. Our people focus on the most important thing, you. When you call, you'll speak to a real person. No robotic scripts, no computer says no, just an honest conversation with someone who actually wants to help. Join the millions who've already made the move. Octopus Energy, recommended by Which, a record 9 years running. Visit octopus.energy/better for verification.
Taxes changing from April 2026.
If you're a sole trader or a landlord
with a turnover above £50,000,
you'll need to use recognised software to keep records
and send quarterly updates of your income and expenses.
There's no avoiding it. Taxes changing. Get ready. Search HMRC Making Tax Digital.
If you were missold a home on a holiday park, holidayparkadvicecentre.co.uk could help you receive compensation. Text ADVICE to 78900.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
This is preposterous!
Yes, I agree with that bloke. 0345 6060973. Tessa in Cardiff says, I've had a hard day. Although watching the Brazilian jazz ensemble to the backdrop of the setting sun in Butte Park helped.
Groovy.
Wow, that sounds great. She says, your callers have made me realise that I do have a semblance of sanity. Thanks. Now, don't quite know how to take that. Are you saying that by comparison you have a semblance of sanity? Or are you saying that what they say is what you think? So you are ascribing sanity to them, therefore it reflects well on you. Either way, she sent me an emoji at the end, which is very, very... These things are too small. I mean, they're too small and they're too detailed now. You can't see what it's actually supposed to be. It looks like a monkey poking itself in the eyes. What's that supposed to mean? Dickie in Anglesey says, so even if the war stops tomorrow, it'll take 10 years to rebuild the destroyed infrastructure that produces not only oil, but half of all fertilizer and 80% of sulfur that is needed for making metal. Cue an everything shortage for years and years. Happy times! Portsmouth. Hello, Dave.
Oh, hello, Nick. It's carrying on from yesterday, this phone call. I was talking about this AI on my Galaxy phone. Do you remember? Samsung phone, and it's taken over.
Your artificial intelligence phone. Yes, taken over.
Affirmative.
Yes.
Well, it all came from Jan from Tooting. when she said, because I went back on Catch Up and listened to your show again today. Mm. That's how sad I am.
No, and, nothing sad about that. Makes sense. I mean, some people don't want to stay up till 1 o'clock in the morning, but they want to hear all of this super show. It's available a podcast almost the moment it's finished. Ask for Nick Abbott, the whole show podcast.
I had to find out who it was, and it was Jan from Tooting. I hope she's listening. And she said she had, her phone's got a mind of its own. I thought, no, it hasn't. Well, she's right, because I've just found out today that not only do they do updates when you are not asking for them, they also ask you, do you want updates? So I say yes, just to get rid of all the hassle, so they don't keep moaning about everything.
Yeah.
And can you believe this? I've just found out they've put an app on my phone, which I didn't ask for, some crappy app to do with Creative Photography Suite. And when you go into it, it's all a load of cartoons and how to change photos. I just uninstall it. I don't want stuff like that. So they're not actually just updating software. They're putting apps on that you don't ask for.
Right. Well, that sounds alarming. Every now and again, you want to do a little bit of spring cleaning and go through your phone and your computer and just delete all of that stuff that you don't use, because it's taking up a vast amount of memory.
I've just gone through some of my settings, and you'll like this bit. Part of settings is Galaxy AI. In that is Call Assist, Writing Assist, Note Assist, Transcript Assist, Browsing Assist, Photo Assist, honestly, and you'd like this one, Weather Wallpaper. See how AI changes your photos based on the time and the weather?
What?
And I thought, are they having a laugh?
So you take a picture a year ago, and it remembers what the weather was like, and it makes it rain in the picture, even if it wasn't raining at that moment.
Well, yeah, just I'm reading it now. When you go into this particular part, it says, based on the default location, so it obviously knows where you are when you took the photo, yeah. If you have location setters on, right? And then AI will change your photo to sunny or raining or snowing, depending on the local weather, and to adjust the look for the morning, midday, evening or night.
Wow.
Why would you want all that? You just want it as it was. If it's sunny, you don't want a picture of it being raining or snowing, do you?
All you want is a picture of your beautiful face. 8,000 times.
So, yeah. You said about, why do you have your phone on silent all the time? And what happens if someone phones you? Well, no one phones me anymore because everyone messages me.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Even if somebody is going to phone you, they message you ahead of time to warn you that you're about to get a phone call. Because, otherwise you might be alarmed.
You're spot on there. Clive Ball mentioned this a few weeks ago. Yeah. He said, it's like you're almost having a meeting scheduled. I'll phone you at 8 o'clock on Saturday night.
Right.
And this is how it is, so I don't...
People just used to call each other up and have a chat. Yeah. You remember chatting, don't you?
Well, do you remember... You're in your 60s like I am, aren't you?
So rubbish.
You remember landlines, 60s, don't you?
That's ancient. Can't possibly be in my 60s. I was born in 1960.
Well, I think you're 65 years old, actually. I'm a stalker. I've been online and seen you... Your Wikipedia says 65. Not always true, but it's normally right. So.
Well, at one point, my Wikipedia said that I had a tail that I could hang upside down from a tree with.
Right. So this
which would be great, by the way, wouldn't it? Like like an extra hand.
It would be. So this is where we used to have landlines at home. Now, funny thing is, we think we're controlled by phones, but I remember that when the phone used to go off in the hall, my mum used to...
In the hall, yeah.
Yeah, always in the hall, wasn't it?
Well, because it was it was considered rude to have a phone in the living room. So you had it in the hall with its own table, with a chair table, yeah.
Yeah, then you had a space on the some of these stalls for your directory in Yellow
That's
Pages.
That's right, the Yellow Pages, yeah.
So this is what I was just remembering. When we're having meal times, and the phone went in the hall, or my dad used to jump up, regardless of if they're in the middle of their eating a nice bit of food, and they answer the phone. So they were controlled then by the phone.
Yes. Well,
a little bit.
Right, a little bit.
So no one just said, let it ring, and then they phone back and let it ring. They just think, I must find out who this is. But do you know Joanna Lumley said last year Joanna Lumley said that she doesn't, she can't be controlled by a phone, and she switches it off all the time. She said she actually, she was interviewed, and she said when she used her phone to pay for parking, the moment she, because she can do that, and then when she finished, she turns her phone off.
Right.
Because otherwise she says she's on call all the time, and everybody wants her.
Yes, take your, just unplug, kids, and get your faces out your phones. Wake up. There's a whole world out there in high definition and surround sound. You never know, you might like it. All right, thanks a lot, Dave. Matt says, hi, Nick. Do we know who the other contenders for the FIFA Peace Prize were? I heard the shortlist included Genghis Khan, Napoleon, Darth Vader, and the bloke that shot Franz Ferdinand. What, the band? Harley says, who can afford to tip in 2026? These are all messages from last night. And if you can afford to get somebody to drive over a pizza, then you can afford to give them at least a pound, probably £2. I'm going to say 10% of whatever your bill was. Don't tell me that you can't afford to tip somebody that brings you a pizza or a burger or whatever it might be. If you can afford the food, you can afford the tip. Or just go get it yourself. Ian in Romford says, regarding your Trump name list, in your Super A to Z for 2025, you missed out the creosote cretin. That was an old entry and one of my favourites, says Ian. Okay, well, it might go in the next book. You just don't know. I've already started writing it, by the way. Southampton, hello, Simon.
Nick, good evening.
Simon.
I've got two or three things, and none of it is politics.
Okay.
It's amazing for me. First of all, I want to make a complaint about... We're talking chocolate bars, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
How is it that these companies brag, show off and advertise that their chocolate contains bubbles, right? as if that's a good thing. Surely each bubble means less chocolate.
Less chocolate, yeah, that is true. Mm.
So you're getting a lot of air, basically.
Correct, yeah, but it does alter the... I do think that the addition of air does alter the flavour of the chocolate. Now, I don't know what kind of air they're putting in there, whether it's just ordinary air... or whether there's some sort of hidden ingredient in that air.
Well, they don't really sort of say anything about that, do they? They just make out that having all these bubbles is great.
Exactly. I mean, if you read the ingredients on the side of that sweet treat, do any of the ingredients actually contain the word air? No.
No. But while we're on that sort of subject, similar subject, right? If I want to go and make a sandwich, and I want to have a ham sandwich, right? Why are companies telling me that it's in my interest to buy wafer-thin ham?
Yeah, because you're just going to... It's going to be an inch thick, regardless of whether it's wafer-thin or not.
Yeah. But I don't want, like... I want a mouthful of ham. I don't want to mess with... They ain't trying to advertise it to me as if it's a good thing.
Mm.
A couple more things, just quickly. Have you... were you up your part of the world given food waste bins?
Yes.
By the council?
Yes.
Well, I don't know about up your part of the world or anybody else's, but around my part of the world, they just sit by the bins empty. Nobody's bothered.
No. I tried doing that, but the foxes, they figured out how to open them, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about that. And they absolutely honk. So I'm afraid... And eco-woke hippies are not going to like this, but it all goes in the same bin.
What?
Yeah,
no, I'm the same. Right, another quick moan. By the way, you reminded me something a minute ago. You know ChatGPT?
Hmm.
Well, I got them to write me... I'm going to link this together. Look, I'm a genius. I'm doing a weave, Nick, right? No politics. I asked ChatGPT to write me a letter to my local council because my bin area by my flat was absolutely caked in rubbish. And we're talking nappies, God knows what.
Oh.
So I got ChatGPT to write me a letter to my council and I basically said, make it sound official, include these points and bish, bash, bosh. They sent me back a reply. And admittedly, whatever I'd written, because I didn't read it really...
What?
I'd done the trick because they come and sort it out. Now, are we moving into a world whereby The person at the other end then says to their ChatGPT, write a reply to this bloke, will you?
Yeah.
Make it sound official.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So, your assistant is talking to their assistant. Yes. I mean, eventually, all the way down the line, somebody's assistant will be talking to you.
Yeah. Now, one more thing. Have you noticed, and I really would appreciate some feedback from other people on this.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm a cabbie. I work at night. Now, ever since these new LED headlights have become
terrible.
A thing,
yeah.
Right?
Shocking.
It's not so much cars coming towards me. It makes me feel that cars behind me are much closer than they are.
Plus, every time they hit a pothole in the road or one of those sleeping policemen, then their lights flash up and down, and it feels
they
as
do.
Though they're flashing you, but they're not doing that.
But
and
do so, they feel closer?
I don't know about closer, more annoying, most certainly. Yeah, somebody should do something about that. All right, got to go. Thanks a lot, Simon. Oath, yeah, I've got your Meghan Markle update, and Trump's ugly mug is going to be on money. All that to come. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10, Nick Abbott, LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 11 o'clock. Israel has come under attack from Iran again in what Benjamin Netanyahu has described as a very difficult evening. More than 60 people have been injured in the city of Arad in the south of the country. Dimona has also been struck. Both cities are close to Israel's main nuclear enrichment site. Elizabeth Brohr from the Atlantic Council has been telling LBC Tehran appears to have changed its fighting tactics in this conflict.
Last year, during the 12-day war, the Iranians essentially backed down and used off-ramps. This time, they've clearly decided that the regime's survival is at stake and that as a result, the system needs to fight back. And we should remember that it's not just one leader or a few leaders. It's a whole regime with lots of layers of officials.
The IDF has confirmed its defense systems have failed to intercept some of the missiles fired towards it tonight. Downing Street says the Prime Minister has told the President of Cyprus the island's security is of utmost importance to the UK. During a call with Nikos Christodoulidis, Sir Keir Starmer also repeated the UK's airbase there won't be used by the US for operations against Iran. 34 people are now believed to have contracted meningitis in Kent following the outbreak centred on a nightclub in Canterbury. The number of cases has risen from yesterday's figure of 29. Dr. Leila Hanbeck from the Independent Pharmacies Association has been telling LBC the risk of passing infection remains low.
This is not like COVID. This strain of meningitis is very much caused by people, for example, sharing things. There's been talks about close contact with sharing drinks or sharing vapes. What we need to remember is this is not like a COVID situation here, so people shouldn't be comparing this.
A 28-year-old woman's been arrested on the suspicion of murder after a man in his 50s was found in a park in Suffolk. Police were sent to Sparrow's Nest Gardens in Lowestoft on Friday night. And in the Championship today, Coventry eased to a 3-0 win at Swansea to move 9 points clear at the top of the league. Middlesbrough still hold the second automatic promotion spot despite a goalless draw with Blackburn. Their nearest challengers, Ipswich and Millwall, drew 1-1. LBC weather, cloudy, breezy and some rain for Scotland and Northern Ireland overnight, but mostly clear for England and Wales with a risk of patchy frost and fog. We'll see a low of around 2 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Abbott.
You're joking.
He's a great guy. He's a good guy. He's a good person.
Thanks, Donny. You're the best. You're the best worst person ever. This text says, speaking of the Manosphere, which we were briefly last night, somebody asked me whether I'd seen that Louis Theroux documentary. He says, what is the similarity between an incel and XL? Both confuse everything as a date. I suppose that's computer humour.
Boring!
I've got no idea. Don't ask me. What's an XL? Don't care. Dominic says, Nick, how does this caller take pics of his dinner if he doesn't take his phone into a restaurant? Well, that is a good point, yeah. And those are the end of yesterday's messages. Now I've only got 86 pages of messages from tonight to get through. I'm never going to do it. How do these people get my number? Lester Hemant.
Oh, Nick. Hello.
Hemant.
How are you?
Great, mate.
That's good. The thing you mentioned before the news about tipping.
Yeah.
I don't do it.
You don't tip?
No.
Ever?
No. Well, I do if I'm in a restaurant.
Right. But why there? And go on.
Because the food's come cold, and I always look at their face that they're not happy. If I gave them, say, 10%, they're not happy, they want more. I feel that instinct, so I don't bother.
The food's come cold. Well, did you order a salad?
Like sometimes pizzas and kebabs.
Right.
And
well, that's not good. Yeah, you don't want cold pizza.
Yeah. So they went. But I believe all these big chains who use these delivery apps, they charge so much. They say they're doing a deal, free delivery.
Yeah, yeah.
Then the service charge comes. Then they'll put this other charge,
right.
The cost of the bag, and it all adds up.
Yeah, but none of that goes to the bloke who, or woman, sexist, who comes around on a moped and, you know, at great risk to their own personal safety and gives you the food in the bag.
No, I'm sure they get some of that.
No, they don't, no.
No?
Absolutely not, no. Not I one single solitary penny. I betcha they don't get a single penny of it.
Okay, right.
Well, I don't know that that's a fact, but I'm just going to put it out there. I'll say it with confidence, and that will make it true.
Okay. And one more other point. Was that lovely snoring Sophie earlier?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought, listening to her wonderful conversations in the past, that she's a teacher and she can't say chair.
Chur. It wasn't even like a local accent or anything. She just had the difficulty saying the word chair.
I think she's posh.
Cheer. Nobody says cheer. I've never heard in my life anybody call the thing that you sit on a cheer.
Especially from a teacher.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, let's hope she's not teaching the English language. Let's hope it's, you know, maths or something easy.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, thank you. Keep
okay, thank you, Hemant. Cheers. 0345 6060973. D in Norfolk says, have also noticed that others, including James O'Brien and Tim Swarbrick, have started using your soundboard.
What?
You are obviously held in high esteem, so think you ought to take them to task. It's your USP, so they should be paying you to use it, or at least get permission. Brackets, royalty checks can be made out to the glamorous assistant at global.com. What's this got to do with you?
I just fancy some money.
Yeah, but do you have any responsibility in this regard? Is it your fault?
I have responsibilities at home. I have a cat that needs feeding.
Oh, a cat! Right. But have you heard any of this?
What, the sound effects?
Yeah.
Yeah, I will confess. I don't work on James or Tim's show.
Tim's show,
But we have been using the... Are you still talking about Epstein sound for a little
while? Oh, right. Okay, just that, though.
Yeah, just that one.
Right.
And about 30 other... No, just that one.
Yeah. Okay, well, I can't really claim that as my own, but I have clipped it up so that it is easy to use. So at least I should get some sort of, you know, credit, at the very least. A credit to my bank account. Brian says, how can we tip your glamorous assistant? She doesn't accept money. She's very, 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 very strict about that. No money, thank you. Only verbal praise. That's all she will accept. That's correct, isn't it?
Yeah, I'll take what I can get.
Yeah, you can't pay your rent with verbal praise. Kitty says, a few weeks ago I mentioned I didn't like this game and I wanted to go home. I'm not sure this new game is any better. I have no idea what you're talking about, Kitty. Chloe says, good evening, Nick. I have another name for the tangerine screen that hopefully you will enjoy. I thought of it a few weeks ago, but was in the US at the time, so didn't want to... I didn't want to chance a knock at the door from ICE. No. I think you're lucky to have got out alive, Chloe. Anyway, the name is the Papaya Pol Pot. No. But thanks for playing. York. Hello, Jan.
Hello, Nick.
Jan.
How are you tonight?
I'm super. Thanks for asking.
Good. Last time I called you, it was about something on one of your podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
I'm at it again tonight.
Oh, by the way, me and Carol, we're coming back. We're back on Monday.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, me and Carol, the podcast that I do with Carol McGiffin, which is a laugh and a half, it's called What's Your Problem with Nick and Carol, back on Monday.
Good.
Yeah.
Right. Now, this week on your podcast, you were talking about sandwiches.
Now, which one? Which podcast?
The Habit one.
Oh, right, the Nick Abbott Habit, which is now twice a week, comes out on Monday and Wednesday, and has been made in extended form, therefore doubling your pleasure.
That's right. And you were singing the praises of jam and fried egg.
Ooh, jam and fried egg sandwiches.
Sounds revolting.
It does, yeah.
Were you joking?
No, I'm not. No, I'm not joking. No, have you tried it, Jan?
Well, I haven't. No, because
there you go.
There's a bit of a problem there. I'm very funny about eggs.
Now, when you say when you say funny,
well, I'm going to tell you. You know, you crack an egg, and there's that awful stringy bit of white in them there, isn't there?
Oh well, we don't like that.
Well, no. So I've got to scoop it out. And
yeah, very difficult to detach from the rest of the egg, though.
It is. It's very hard to do without breaking the yolk.
That's right.
So, frying, you can't do it.
No, but once it's cooked, you can't tell. I mean, it's only in its raw form that you see that stringy bit that...
Oh, I know.
I don't know what it's for. What's it for?
I know
what
it's called. I looked it up.
Is it for keeping the yolk upright?
It's for keeping the yolk centred in the white.
Right.
And it's called the chorizo.
Oh, well, now I really don't like it.
No, I hate it. And you can't see it when it's cooked, but it's still there.
You know it's still there, yeah.
Oh, absolutely awful. I can't bear it. I don't eat many eggs, but the only one I can eat... Is it the scrambled?
How about boiled? Because you can't tell.
No, no.
Because you can't... hang on a minute. You can't see that little stringy thing because you haven't actually cracked the shell before you cook it.
But it's still there. And can you imagine getting your spoon out and there it is dangling on the spoon? Ugh. Oh, my God.
Can you imagine getting it caught in your teeth?
Oh, shut up. Oh, God.
Because
so
you wouldn't be able to get it out. You wouldn't be able to get it out, would you? It'd be one of those things that would be in your teeth forever.
Oh, I thought of it. It's awful, isn't it?
Horrible.
Oh. So, no. I can't eat fried eggs, no.
Right.
But have you tried marmalade and cheese in
a
sandwich?
Well, yes. Like a fruit preserve of some sort with cheese is an excellent combination.
Yes, it is. Much better than fried egg and jam. And another good one, brown bread, a thin layer of lemon curd, and thinly sliced banana.
Oh, you know what? I thought you were going to say bacon.
Bacon?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Even vegans will admit that bacon makes everything taste better.
And we disagree with that.
Vegans are always saying that to me.
Lemon curd and banana. Absolutely lovely.
That sounds horrible.
Does it?
Yeah, lemon curd. No.
Don't you like lemon curd?
No. You want honey, peanut butter and banana. Yes.
Well, no. Not peanut butter, no. That's awful.
No, it verifiably isn't awful. People make the mistake of trying to eat it on its own, and you might as well try and eat wallpaper paste. It's awful on its own. It needs a bit of sweetness to it.
Of course, that's what Elvis Presley used to like, didn't he? Jam and peanut butter.
And wallpaper paste.
Oh, awful. And look what happened to him.
Yeah, he became a multi-millionaire and superstar. Yeah.
Well, yeah, apart from that, yeah. Mm. Now, just one more thing I want to ask you.
And finally.
It's spring now. We didn't have a very tough winter, did we? So did you...
It snowed a bit, and you know what, the sort of the misery went on for a long time. Like, we had a lot of rain, a lot of grey, an absence of sun.
Dull and wet, but it wasn't cold, really, was it?
No.
No.
Not particularly,
no. So, did your Acer make it through?
Yes, all my plants seem to have shrugged off winter like it didn't happen. And they are all bursting out like the month of May.
Brilliant. Yeah. That's very good. Now, just one more thing.
Oh, another thing.
Have you ever been to Westonbirt Arboretum?
Where?
Westonbirt Arboretum.
No.
Ah.
I don't believe that there is such a place.
I think you'd like it because it's full of trees.
Yeah, well, that would be my guess. Yeah,
and you like trees, don't you?
I like
trees.
Well, what's not to like about a tree?
So I think it'd be a nice place for you to visit.
Right. Well, I will definitely put it on my list and forget about
and forget
it later.
About it.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
All right. Excellent work. Thanks a lot, Jan. All right. Cheers, my dear. Ta-da. 0345-6060-973. I've got your Meghan Markle update. And Donald Trump is going to get his ugly mug on money. Which is one of the things on my Trump bingo card list. He really is just ticking them off every day and every way. It gets truer and truer. 0345-6060-973. Friday, Saturday night. At 10, no, Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10, Nick Abbott, LBC.
Weekdays from 7 a.m.
This is a shameful, this is a shambles, straight to the point.
How was that allowed to happen?
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Show some evidence, Minister.
Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app. Download it now from your app store, LBC.
So, what's on your to-do list today? Why don't you check if you're eligible for pension credit? It tops up your pension income and also opens up help with heating bills, council tax, and more. Search pension credit on gov.uk or call 0800 99 1234. There's nothing to lose. Check today. Pension credit. Credit where credit's due. Eligibility criteria apply.
Cancer doesn't care about childhood. It doesn't care what they miss out on or how much you want to protect them. But we do. At Great Ormond Street Hospital Charity, we fund life-saving research, vital family support, and the special things that help seriously ill kids be kids. Until no childhood is lost to cancer. Join us. Search GOSH Charity.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345-6060-973.
Side line, please.
Wayne says, Nick, can you explain something for me? Why aren't there air fresheners that smell like food? They've got Sunday roast, Sunday roast, bread, chocolate or cheesecake. They all seem to be summer breeze and flowers and the seaside. The seaside? Oh.
Disgusting.
And nobody wants to smell like that. If you go down to the sea today, you're in for a brown surprise. Mark says, Nick is not funny or interesting, so switching off now. The legal hour was great just now. Just now? Well, presumably he meant the precise moment that he was listening to it before. Or maybe he was talking about the whole hour of the legal hour was great just now. But either way, Mark is just telling us what he does and does not like. Isn't that interesting?
No.
Imagine being so entitled that you send a message to somebody you don't know complaining about something you haven't paid for and don't have to listen to. You're an idiot, Mark. I mean that in a helpful way. Aylesford, Tony.
Hello, Nick. Now, if that's my dad, Mark, you're out of order.
Red card.
Yeah, red card. Don't talk to my Nick ever like that. Anyway. I'm sure it won't. That's my dad's name, Mark. But anyway, I want to talk about weather and Trump.
Are the two connected?
Maybe. Right, now, I had a game today. Now, people forget, like, I always wanted to be a meteorologist when I was younger.
Really? Because you strike me as the sort of person who wanted to be a lumberjack.
whatever. I don't know what that means. You've done this before. I'll have to look that up after.
Look it up after.
But do you know what? I had a game and it was 11 degrees. It was full sunny. I'm not going to tell you where it was.
Right, for people who don't know, I do recall that you are a football referee.
Yeah.
That's what you mean when you say you had a game. Right, go on.
Yeah, oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, I had a game. I was on the line. It was a supply league game. 200 people there. I got tan lines now. People forget, like, in March, like, the UV rays index is, like, medium. You can still catch the sun. So, like, April and May, the sun is the strongest. Make sure you put...
April and May, the sun is the strongest.
Yes, of course it is, because it could be 15 degrees in April and May, but you'll get burnt as a crisp. So UV in April will be high.
Yeah, you just assume that the sun isn't going to burn you because it's cool out.
Yes, but very rarely do we get very high, which is normally July and August. But, yeah, so I just wanted to, like, make sure you put on the sun cream. I've got tan lines today.
Sun cream and sunglasses and a hat.
Yes.
Very, very important.
Yes, I've got tan lines, but it's good for the vitamin D levels.
When you're refereeing a small game with just a couple of hundred people, can't you hear every single insult that is thrown in your direction? Rather than if somebody is refereeing a Premier League game and they've got 50,000 people in the crowd, it all just becomes a noise. But you can hear every single syllable, can't you?
Yes, but they know not to do it to me because I used to get to a bit of a higher standard. I'm just coming back from injury. I'm just getting out there again. We were observed today. There was a referee, and I was the assistant referee, and there was another assistant referee, but apparently we missed a KMI, which is a key match incident.
Oh, yeah.
But I think we got it right, but we'll have to look at the highlights. But, yeah, I'll see what Mark comes through in the next couple of days.
What do you think about that referee who got surrounded by the Chelsea players in the middle of the pitch? Where he was standing over the ball and in the centre circle. And the Chelsea players apparently do a huddle around the centre circle, and they closed in on the ref. That was just so bizarre.
I haven't seen this, but I did see something on my Instagram. I think the referee was Paul Tierney. He's coming back from injury. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I'll have to have a look at it, but apparently it did come across a bit bizarre. But, I don't actually know. But let's...
Because conspiracy theorists were saying that, he's in the huddle because he's, taking instructions from the Chelsea players. But that most certainly was not the case. He was just standing over the ball. But why would he need to stand over the ball? Like, the Chelsea players were going to interfere with the ball in some way?
Oh, that's absolutely BS. Because referees, look, you learn to build a thick skin. You just let things like that go over your head. I haven't seen it. But hopefully, I don't really know that situation. And good luck to Peter Banks tomorrow, my good friend. He's refereeing the League Cup final tomorrow, Arsenal versus Manchester City. I wish him all the best.
Oh, yeah.
Donald Trump. I don't think he's got long left. What do you think?
What, as president or in this life?
Oh, yeah, both, really.
Because he does resemble a deflated space hopper. It does look like a balloon that somebody's left the air out of. I mean, he sits like a... Only when he sits next to somebody do you realise how much he slumps. I mean, he's quite tall, but when he sits down, he's like one of the...
The little people.
Like one of the little people.
Yeah, but he's starting to look really old now, isn't he? And apparently, when men get to that age, they start losing it a bit. But... No, apparently they do. Well, no, but I mean, honestly...
As far as losing it a bit, I think that ship has sailed and sunk.
Yeah, and he had to go at Joe Biden for losing it a bit. But come on, Americans, wake up. Electing someone who's 78 years of age, I just think that's a bit weird.
And the people that elected him love him to bits. They just had a poll. I mean, Trump got it wrong. He said it was CNN. It was actually NBC. But they asked MAGA... the MAGA fans, his cult, his cult fans, all of those ding-a-lings, they asked them, do you still support Donald Trump? And guess what percentage said yes?
I reckon it's lower than we would... 40%.
No, 100%. 100% said, well, yes, I support, the President of the United States. But zero people said no. Not one single person. You got 100% support.
Yes. But, Nick, that doesn't mean 100% of Republicans.
No, it means 100% of the people that voted for him. And that's 30% of the population. So it's about 50 million people who are still 100% behind Donald Trump, regardless of what he has done or said.
Yeah, well, let's hope that we don't get to that stage. I think Keir Starmer's playing the binder. We don't want Nigel Farage getting in.
We don't want no Trump mini-me running this country.
No, I agree. No. All right.
All right, well, there we are, in agreement. Excellent work. Thanks a lot, Tony. Either way, Donald Trump's going to get his ugly mug on money. Here's how the Mail puts it. Fists clenched and face filled with steely determination. This is how Donald Trump wants to go down in American history. You've probably seen this picture. And so he's getting that image pressed into a gold coin. And the image looks less like the picture of a tough guy world statesman and more like the Pillsbury Doughboy got wind. And you know who knows a lot about wind?
I know a lot about wind.
This soon-to-be minted coin, intended to celebrate his nation's 250th year of independence from us, but it's really celebrating Donald Trump's independence from his mind.
Don't talk to me that way. I'm the president of the United States. Don't ever talk to the president that way.
So he's going to get a coin expected to be 3 inches in diameter and will be cast in 24-karat gold. And if it's the same 24-karat gold that all those plastic decals on the wall of the Oval Office are made of, it should be worth about 10 pence. Or $1,000 to anybody in a MAGA hat. Commissioned by a federal arts panel made up of members appointed by Donald Trump, it forms part of a series of coins the U.S. Mint is planning to produce to mark America's anniversary. It's their birthday. It also adds to a growing list of efforts by Donald Trump to stamp his name and face on buildings. Buildings and Navy warships and anything that stands still long enough have somebody get up on a ladder and stick a sign on it. Just over a year ago, he came to office for his second go around. Doesn't it seem like a day over a century since he hovered his hand over the Bible and spouted some lies about what he was going to do and which would have set fire to that Bible if he had actually touched it while he was saying it.
You know, nobody has done more for Christianity. Nobody has done more for religion of all type than me.
Than him. Everybody says so. The U.S. Mint, which is responsible for producing the nation's coinage, will now finalize the coin's dimensions with the design already approved by Donald Trump himself. He thinks it makes him look masculine, I imagine. That must be it. Or as masculine as a man in badly applied burnt umber makeup and a hair weave that looks like a Mobius strip can look.
I don't wear a toupee.
The Treasury Secretary, Scott Bessent, is then expected to give the order for the coin to be minted. Scott Bessent will pull himself up as far as a person can without a spine and make that call. The design will portray a stern-looking Donald Trump leaning over his desk and looking ahead like he's at the doctor's office having his prostate checked. Trump also wants a $1 coin bearing his image, which would go into circulation this year. Up to now, only deceased presidents have their image on currency, so maybe he's keeping quiet about the good news.
Oh, shut up!
Just a thought. there he is. There's a picture of him right there. It looks like he's been on Wegovy for about 2 weeks. He hasn't eaten a thing, and he looks absolutely furious about it. And I do think that that's the doctor, kneeling behind him, you know, checking him out. All the best, Donny. I hope it works well. that man is running the planet. Can you believe that? Gary in Anglesey says it's vital for the world economy to open the bent of Hormuz, and the fact that NATO's European allies are not getting involved, I think the Don is just going to have to send malaria there to get the ships through. After all, she was an escort. Wow. I think he's being rude to you, Malaria.
I don't care.
She's actually not that bothered. Alex in Witham says, so Robert Mueller dies, and the human blimp responds by saying, I'm glad he's dead. I must admit, I'm beginning to wonder when Americans who are critical of Trump start falling out of windows, because it feels as though we're getting closer to that happening. Yeah, it certainly does, yeah. I wonder if they've started already and we just don't know it yet. Yeah, that's what Trump said. Robert Mueller. Now, those of you who remember the Muppets will remember the American Eagle. He looks exactly like that. Donald Trump is celebrating the death of Robert Mueller, the former FBI director and special counsel. Robert Mueller passed away at the age of 81. The family of the former head of the FBI announced that the death occurred on Friday. The causes are not clear, according to US media. Robert Mueller just died, the president wrote on Truth Social. Good, I'm glad he's dead. He can't hurt innocent people anymore. He was the FBI director for 12 years. And, as special counsel, he investigated Russia's interference in the 2016 presidential elections. Or, as Trump would say, fake news. So he's dead. And the president of the United States of America actually tweeted, good. I'm glad he's dead. He can't hurt innocent people anymore, said Donald Trump. Yeah, that's right. And he can't hurt those who are as guilty as sin, either, can he? 0345 6060 973. It's 11:30 on LBC. The news headlines with Tim Daly.
Israel has come under attack from Iran again in what Benjamin Netanyahu has described as a very difficult evening. More than 60 people have been injured in the city of Arad in the south of the country. 34 people are now known to have contracted meningitis in Kent following the outbreak centred on a nightclub in Canterbury. The number of cases has risen from yesterday's figure of 29. And a 28-year-old woman's been arrested on the suspicion of murder after a man in his 50s was found in a park in Suffolk. Police were sent to Sparrow's Nest Gardens in Lowestoft on Friday night. LBC weather, cloudy, breezy, with some rain as well for Scotland and Northern Ireland. Mostly clear for England and Wales overnight with patchy frost and fog. We'll see a low of around 2 degrees.
LBC.
Way up here. Right at the edge of oxygen. In space. That's where you'll find us. O2 Satellite keeps you connected in more places than ever before. So even when you're far from everything, you won't have to miss a thing. Introducing O2 Satellite. O2. Essential for living.
30-day rolling add-on. £3 per month. Device type, app, location and other restrictions apply. See o2.co.uk/terms.
Wrong tool for the job? Don't make that mistake with your van. Get up to 30% off selected new Toyota vans and pickups with a warranty up to 10 years or 100,000 miles with every qualifying routine service. Visit your nearest Toyota centre or visit toyota.co.uk/van savings for more details. Savings on selected vans and pickups ordered by the 31st of March 2026. UK residents, see toyota.co.uk for full details. T's and C's apply.
At Amazon, over 50% of deliveries now come with less packaging or with no added packaging at all. It's a difference you'll notice on your doorstep, where you chat with friends, where your neighbour's daughter practices guitar, and where we deliver your new noise-cancelling headphones in the manufacturer's packaging. Ah, much better. Reduced packaging from Amazon. We're delivering change where it matters. On your doorstep. Based on 2025 Amazon packaging data across the UK and EU.
This is LBC with Nick Abbott.
Oh dear.
0345 6060 973. Now, you're not going to like this, so prepare yourself. Matthew says, I'd always assumed the stringy thing in an egg was its umbilical cord. Oh, it's going to be a while since before I can face an egg again. Laura says, a whisper is just a chocolate bar, but it's got air bubbles in. Well, don't tell Aero. They'll be furious. Claudia says, why did George Michael have... No. Well, that's not that bad, but it's a joke. You'll never know. Don't do jokes. Bath. Hello, Laura.
Hello, Nick.
Laura.
How are you?
Great, mate.
I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't don't really eat eggs, but I know some things about them. The best way to cook an egg is that if you're frying one, is you cook the bottom so it's nice and crispy, and then you just put a lid on top of the frying pan, and the steam will cook up all the nasty albumin that Jan from York doesn't like.
No, she doesn't mind the albumin. It's the that stringy thing, whatever that's called.
Well, I don't know what you guys are talking about. Last time I had an egg, it didn't have one of those.
Yeah, but how did you have your egg?
Is it new? They added it?
Yes. New for this season. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all the rage.
Did you ask me how I cooked it? Last time I had an egg I must have poached it, because I'm that adept at cooking.
Wow. Get you with your fancy poaching. How did you poach the egg? Did you make a swirl, like a swirling eddy in boiling water, and launch it in it?
Yeah.
Right.
That worked very well. And the, I also learned a trick that if you put like the teeniest, tiniest bit of vinegar in, it helps to... How did you know that already?
Everybody knows that.
All right.
It helps to make it coagulate. Now, there's a word that you don't want to hear before eating.
No, yeah. Can you explain exactly how that works?
Yes. Yes, I can.
No follow-up questions.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for all of your questions, yes.
Yeah. Can I talk about the cockapoos?
Do what now?
Can I talk about cockapoos?
Cockapoos, right. These are these silly dogs that absolutely everybody is carrying. They don't let them walk around because Ian might get his feet dirty, so they carry them around, don't they?
We have a cockapoo, and I just... They're like little teddy bears.
Yeah, they are. Brilliant. That's exactly what they look like. They look like Christmas toys for children.
Do you know what they call them? They call them designer crossbreeds.
Right.
You got cockapoos, cockapoos, and labradoodles, which have been the subject of this new study from the RVC, I think, the Royal Veterinary
College. Do they have illnesses that pertain to those crosses? Because, you know, there's a lot of dogs that are supposedly pedigree that have all sorts of illnesses sort of built in, like all those flat-faced dogs. They can't breathe, can they? It's like that. And there's dogs that their legs are too short, so their bellies scrape along the ground. And, you know, stuff like that.
I think just some points to pick up there. I think if you say on the radio, these dogs can't breathe properly, you don't need to do a demonstration. I think people understand.
Right. Got it.
Second of all, these dogs are, I mean, maybe with the exception of ears and their kind of predisposed to skin conditions, your cockapoos and cavapoos are actually, they're in pretty good nick.
Right.
And they get the hybrid vigour compared to, like, Charles Cavalier Spaniels that have heart.
I guess so, that's right. If it's a cross, if it's one dog that has had hot canine relations with another one...
Disgusting.
...that is not remotely like it, then that's probably best, isn't it? Rather than the exact same dogs being mated with each other to have...
How does that work?
What do you mean?
How does that work if you have two dogs that are, like, vastly different in size? How do you get a hybrid off them?
You're the vet. You tell
me.
No,
Nick, I'm the football referee.
Right. No, you're not.
Yeah. But anyway, they basically are saying that these crossbreeds, designer crossbreeds, have more undesirable behaviours than their progenitors, you know, the pure breeds.
Do they?
This is the thing.
So they have less... medical complications, but more undesirable behaviours. Like what?
I have an issue with this study because I think a lot of those undesirable behaviours come from the fact that a lot of these dogs were bought during COVID, so they couldn't be socialised properly.
It's the stupid moron owners that are the problem.
Yeah. And then the owners that are like new to dog ownership, because they're like, oh my God, I work from home now, I'll just get a dog, and I'll get one of those teddy bear dogs that I saw on the telly.
And they think that they can just switch it off and put it in the cupboard when they get bored with it. Or, you know, it wants to walk like twice a day. It's like, oh God, but it's raining out, I don't want to go out. So they just leave it in the house, and then it, you know, it goes everywhere.
Well, my dad's cavapoo has someone with him all the time.
Did you say catapoo?
Cavapoo.
Oh, right.
I didn't do nothing untoward with animals, all right? Otherwise, I wouldn't be allowed to be doing what I'm doing.
Somebody should think about that. Cross a cat with a dog, and then you could let it out, and it could, you know, take care of itself and then come back in when it's ready.
Yeah, of the loyalty of a cat and the cleanliness of the dog. It's perfect. The perfect hybrid.
No, the opposite of that.
But, you know, the other reason why I thought this study was a bit sus is because it was funded by the Kennel Club, which are all about pure breeds.
Yes. Surely. Highly Isn't suspicious. It? Yeah.
I know, so I don't trust it, but then, you know, I don't need to be saying all this because everybody who has a cockapoo is blowing ire all over the internet about this study. How dare you speak ill of cockapoos and cavapoos, is what they're saying.
Yeah. Well, don't ask me. I don't know nothing about dogs. I've never had a dog. I've had cats, but not dogs.
Well, can I know the name of one of your cats?
No.
Okay, that was quick.
Any further questions? Any further questions?
Whether you name them like Whiskers, or whether you name it like...
Well, it had nothing to do with me. It was my parents who chose the names of the pets.
Yeah.
It was presented to me as a complete package. Here's they said.
Well, listen. Before I go, I just want to say, please don't crash me into the news. And I'm a football referee. Don't get that wrong again, Nick.
Right. Okay.
I'll never call again.
I'm writing that down as we speak. Thanks a lot, Laura. Adam says Donald Trump is the West's version of Idi Amin. Over 6 foot tall and completely uneducated, dictator, arrogant, stupid. Says Adam, and I cannot begin to tell you how wrong he has spelled the name Idi Amin. It's so wrong, I can't even begin to tell you. But it does remind me that one of the names that I have for Donald Trump is Idiot Amin. Science and Helen says, the guy who wrote that Galaxy jingle you just quoted is an old friend of mine, a guy called Danny Stone, a brilliant musician. Well, I didn't quote no Galaxy jingle. I don't know what the Galaxy jingle is. I know what the Flake jingle is, but not the Galaxy one. This text says, is this correct? Trump mean a dog? What? What? Is this correct? Trump mean a dog? No, it's not correct. And furthermore, I have no idea what you're talking about. Donald Trump's approval rating is sky high. Have you heard? President Donald Trump's approval rating has sunk to its lowest ever. Like I said, terrible. With voters expressing displeasure with the war and with Iran and the cost of living. This is a new Daily Mail JL Partners poll found that Trump's approval rating has slipped to 42%. Or as Donald Trump said, I'm 100% or more. Numbers that no one has ever seen before. I'm doing fantastically well. Everyone says so. People come to me, they say, sir, you are doing so well, and I say thank you, said Donald Trump. Idiot Amin's approval rating is now even lower than it was a couple of weeks ago when it hit 44%. Absolutely everyone hates you, Donnie.
Oh, shut up!
Trump's performance in the Middle East is particularly driving the disappointment with his performance in Washington and his performance pretty much wherever he happens to go. That smell follows him around everywhere.
Don't be rude.
28% of respondents cited the war as the top reason that they really, really hate him. Meanwhile, Emperor Squeaky Tanks continued to give himself a 12 out of 10. He said, we're doing extremely well in Iran. We don't know what we're doing, but it's going very well. Better than anyone, frankly, and it's a tremendous success. And pretty soon we'll stop the bombing, so that's another war I've stopped. And if Norwegian doesn't give me the Nobel Prize now, I'll kill them all. We have to do it for peace, says Donald Trump. The Iran war has already created pain at the pump for Americans, with gas prices up to $3.90 a gallon nationally. Compared to $2.90 a gallon Americans were paying before the US strike started on February the 28th, which, fact fans, is about half what we pay in this country. I mean, I could do the maths, but that's homework, so I'm just going to make it up. Americans pay half the price of petrol that we do, and they are still complaining. Hey, Americans.
Stop whining.
In 2024, Trump ran on curbing inflation, improving the economy, as well as keeping the US out of forever wars. Well, surprise. Now 54% of registered voters in America say the economy is worsening. 16% say the economy is improving. And only 33% support the war in Iran, and 100% of those 33% have no idea what the war in Iran is for, what winning the war would look like, or where Iran is. Including Donald Trump and his melted Ken doll of a secretary of awesome war and stuff. But it's about to get worse. Not for him, for you. Trump on troop deployments during one of his Meet the Pressers, while the helicopter runs in the background, he said, I seem to have great support. CNN came out with a poll today that I'm at 100%. They said they have never seen a poll like that. The CNN poll said I'm at 100%, and they said they had never seen that before, which was an honour, and I was impressed that CNN would do that. Well, he didn't get that entirely wrong. President for life, Donald Trump, according to CNN, hit a hole-in-one from every tee shot in every one of his past golf games and has already won the midterm elections next November and the ones after that, so no need to do any actual voting. That's as true as what he just said about CNN. And also, his makeup is the best makeup. No one has better makeup than him, and his hair is the finest hair that anyone has ever seen. And that style is now the only legally allowed style for all American men so that they look manly like the president for life, said CNN. In actual hard-to-believe real news, it wasn't CNN that did that poll, it was NBC. And Trump actually did get a 100% approval rating, but only from his fans. Apparently, 100% of people that looked like they covered themselves in glue and ran through the Trump gift shop approve of everything the dear leader has ever said or done, or will ever do in the future, no matter what that is. I ain't making that up. 100% approval. A recent NBC News survey found that 100% of self-identified MAGA voters support the president, while 0% disapprove. Amazing, isn't it? I mean, these people have joined a cult. And 30% of Americans now identify as MAGA supporters. 30%, about a third of Americans identify as MAGA supporters, and 100% of those support the president. 0% disapprove. So keep that in mind whenever you hear one of them talking. Americans, that is. One in three are confirmed dinglings. And that wouldn't be so alarming if it didn't mean that about 50 million American grown-ups worship a painted clown off the telly who stares directly at the sun, thinks that terracotta is a good colour for makeup, and dry cleans his hair.
I don't wear a toupee.
0345-6060-973. LBC.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
From Mandy.
Did he speak to Peter Mandelson before the appointment, yes or no?
To meningitis.
This is an unprecedented outbreak. It is also a rapidly developing situation. It is absolutely paramount that we stick to the facts.
And also the rocketing cost of fuel.
I want to see this war end as quickly as possible. The longer it continues, the bigger the impact on the cost of living.
The gloves are off as the PM prepares for a showdown in front of a powerful panel of MPs. Never mind a manic Monday. Could it be a Monday morning for Sir Keir Starmer?
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Back Monday morning from 7. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
Turn ordinary into the extraordinary every day with the Lexus LGX. Whilst most SUVs are big and brash, the LBX is quietly bold and confident. Refined luxury crafted into a compact SUV. The Lexus LBX. What car's best small SUV 2024 and 2025?
With a gift in your will to UNICEF, you'll know that the job of making a better world for every child is in good hands. It'll be the start of an incredible journey, connecting you with a powerful community of people working tirelessly to protect and nurture children so they're empowered to take on the world. To find out more about leaving a gift in your will that never stops working for children, search UNICEF Legacy for a free guide today.
JP Morgan Personal Investing gives you the clarity to make more informed decisions on your investments, which is great, because right now, something else just became crystal clear. Your kid just outgrew the kids menu. Now he's ordering a truffle gnocchi? You consider making a don't gnocchi it till you try it joke, but now's not the time. Now's the time to grow his world, one bite at a time. Search JP Morgan Personal Investing. Invest with clarity. Capital at risk.
Leading Britain's conversation. Nick Abbott. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
Who do you think you're talking to?
I'm talking to a bloke called Tristan in Westminster. Tristan.
Hello?
Yes, Tristan.
Hi, Nick. How are you doing?
Good, thanks.
You know what? I've been a massive fan for ages and ages. I just really wanted to talk to you.
How big are you?
In what way?
Well, you said you're massive.
No, I'm a massive fan.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's great. Thanks.
Yeah, cheers, man. So I've been listening to you the last couple of nights, especially, and I was just wondering, you know, you're on late night. Do you not think you should be on early in the morning?
No.
No,
I've done that. Horrible.
Why not?
Because you have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Have you ever got up at 4 o'clock in the morning?
Couple of times.
Yeah, exactly. I rest my case.
Yeah, I guess so. What have you been up to lately?
Oh, you know, this and that.
Yeah.
Are you awake right now, Tristan?
I mean, I'm pretty awake.
Pretty awake, yeah. Half and half. It's like, more or less. Okay, good talking to you, Tristan. Gabriel in Bow says, in response to your caller last night that was trying to convince you that phones cause cancer. Yeah, there was this long conversation I had with this guy who insisted that phones caused the cancer that killed a couple of people that he knew. No, I wasn't sure about that. Because he did say that one of the cancers that killed somebody that he knew was found to be in the shape of a phone, which doesn't sound very likely to me. But anyway, Gabriel in Bow says, in response to your caller last night that was trying to convince you that phones cause cancer, he forgot to, or perhaps does not know that, phones emit non-ionizing radiation like radios, which cannot penetrate DNA. But as Gabriel in Bow has spelt ionizing, as in the thing that you press shirts flat with, then I'm guessing that he ain't no expert neither. Keith says, I know how you regard Pink Floyd and David Gilmour. Gilmour collaborated with many artists over time, but have you ever seen him collaborating with Sir Tom Jones while Sir Tom sings Purple Rain by Prince? It's interesting. It's on YouTube, says Keith. Yeah, I don't like the sound of that at all. And neither does it sound right for a rock and roller to get a title. I mean, nobody used to call him Mr. Tom Jones, did they? They just called him Tom Jones. So why do we fall over ourselves to insist on giving somebody the title if they've been given a fancy one? Don't get that. And it just doesn't sit right with a rock and roller. Not to me, it don't. Plymouth. Hello, Julie.
Hello, Nick.
Julie.
Does this mean that there's a business opportunity out there for us? If there's two-thirds of America we could sell anti-Donald hats to.
and MAGA, make America go away.
Yeah, you know, a Melania's anti-Donald hat. We could do those ones.
That's right.
Don't tell her.
Yeah. Couldn't get anywhere near her, yeah.
We could do that. This is a business opportunity here, Nick. I can
right.
feel it.
Yes. Your husband tried to pucker his lips to reach your beautiful face, Malaria, but your hat repelled him.
I don't care.
Not that bothered.
She don't care. She's got enough money from Netflix. We'll cash in on it, Nick. I shall start just designing it with my stick drawings.
Okay.
No problem. Nick, I wanted to give a shout-out to the Emerald Isle, the country of my parents' birth, mm-hmm. and my ancestors.
Yeah.
The tea shop this week, Riel Martin. Mm. He was in the hot seat in the Oval Office with Dumpty. And he actually stood up for Keir Starmer, and I was very proud. I thought, good on you.
Yes. But, I mean, not vociferously, but no. He didn't just roll over and let Trump, bloviate on.
No, he interrupted just the same way as Keir did when he started running down our mayor, London's mayor, Sadiq Khan. And I'm just thinking, the more people that can do that, you know, come on, let's do this.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly. It's
so
about
I'm
time.
Very
we've,
proud.
Yeah, we've been in the huddled, crouched position for long enough. Time we stood up.
Yes, because all that stuff coming out of his mouth about Europe and NATO and UK, I mean, it's just rubbish. I mean, at the end of the day, it almost sounds like he wants our young men and women to go over and be blown up.
Well, he does. He wants us. Yeah. He broke it, and now he wants us to fix it.
Yes. And it's so bad. It's so bad. I mean, I don't want our young people having to do that under the circumstances of what he's caused. And but anyway, Nick, lighter note. I also, Jessie Buckley, young Irish actress, won the Oscar for her film. Haven't watched it yet, but I will. Cause
what's
I'm
it
originally,
called?
It's Hamnet.
Oh, Hamnet, right.
Literally from Coventry, so Shakespeare country, you know.
I know somebody who went to that. They absolutely hated it.
Oh, really?
Mm.
Oh, no.
The only film that was in the Oscars ceremony that I've actually seen, I hated too. It was Every Day Another Battle, whatever that's called. What's
oh,
it called?
Yeah, with Leonardo.
Yeah.
Leonardo da Vinci.
Yeah. One battle after another,
after
that's
another.
What it's called. Yeah.
I'll wait till I can stream them on TV.
I wouldn't even bother doing that. Save yourself some time. I mean, it's supposed to be a comedy. I still don't know where the funny part was supposed to be.
Oh, that's not good. Black comedy, dark comedy?
Well, it was definitely a dark comedy, but it wasn't funny. I mean, you know, if something's supposed to be a comedy, isn't it supposed to be funny?
Yes, you're supposed to laugh. Even if it's a little chuckle inside,
right.
There's definitely got to be some chuckling.
Yeah.
Can I just still go back to Jessie and give her a shout-out? Because during her acceptance speech, she mentioned Virginia Giuffre and messed up to keep us talking about you-know-who.
Right.
So, I'm all for that as well. Because we are still talking about him, aren't we, Nick?
Well, he's desperately trying to get us to stop talking about him, but we do insist on still talking about him.
Are you still talking about Jeffrey Epstein?
Yeah, I love the way he pauses between the first and the second name, as though he's unfamiliar with that name. Jeffrey, what was his name again? Epstein? Yeah.
All those photographs of them all together.
Yeah. Which is not an indication of misdeeds of any kind, you know.
Oh, of course not, no.
I mean, Donald Trump gets his picture taken with all sorts of undesirable people, and people who are nice people, I suppose.
Yes, of course. I back that 100%. Can I just ask you, Norwich was my nearest city for over a decade, so I understand why it won being the greatest. Why did it win also being the worst?
Okay, well, leave it with me and I'll explain it.
Thank you very much, Nick.
No, thank you very much, Julie. Okay, this is, maybe it is and maybe it isn't. Have I got time before? Maybe. For decades, this is the Mail. For decades, it's been known as the home of Alan Partridge, but now Norwich has a new claim to fame. It is the most depressed city in the UK. Now, this was in January. Norwich, located in the rump-shaped county of East Anglia, rude. It's home to nearly 150,000 people, but it seems one in four of them is not in the best place, at least mentally. The gloomy accolade comes after a new survey asked Brits about how they were faring during the darker months. A quarter of Norwich residents said they felt genuinely depressed during mid to late January, blaming long stretches of overcast days and limited midwinter sunlight. But that's the same for everybody. It's not a Norwich thing. So it must be being in Norwich that was depressing. And in November, housing website Rightmove ranked Norwich as the 49th best place to live in the UK, which is pretty bad. Now, fast forward to this week, and Norwich has been named the best place in the UK.
What?
Yeah. It went from worst to best in a matter of weeks. The city might find itself the butt. There they go again with the butt. The butt of jokes as the fictional home of Alan Partridge, but judges were left impressed, putting it top of a list of 72 attractive locations. The Best Places to Live guide praised Norwich for its blend of historical character, urban buzz and livability. So, there you have it. The residents of Norwich say it's both the most depressing city in the country and the least depressing city in the country. Is that clear?
No.
Not to me, no. I loved it. I thought Norwich was great. I had no idea before I went there that it was actually quite as attractive on the eye as it is. It's lovely. 0345-6060-973. I have your Meghan Markle update. That's come back. And maybe talk about Ed Miliband and his jaunt to save the planet. And plenty else besides. 0345-6060-973. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10. Nick Abbott, LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at midnight. President Trump has issued Iran with a 48-hour ultimatum on the Strait of Hormuz. He says the U.S. will hit and obliterate its power plants if Tehran does not fully reopen the shipping route in the next 2 days. This evening, more than 60 people have been injured in Israel after strikes launched by Iran. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says the country's had a very difficult evening after attacks on Arad and Dimona. They're both close to Israel's main nuclear enrichment site. Dr. Maziar Ghialbi is from the Center for Persian and Iranian Studies at the University of Exeter. He's been telling LBC Iran is far from out of the war.
The Iranian state, whether we like it or not, is a relatively functioning state with a very complex infrastructure of power sharing and distribution, and that services are functioning at the moment, so there are no shortages. There is some rationing of petrol following the targeting of oil production facilities in Iran, but other than that, things are still in place.
The Foreign Secretary has insisted the UK's military is still avoiding offensive action against Iran despite allowing US planes to begin defensive operations from some British bases. The Prime Minister has told the President of Cyprus, Nikos Christodoulidis, the RAF base on the island won't be used by the Americans to target Iran. A woman has died and three other people are in hospital after a crash on the A1 in East Lothian. It happened near Torness Power Station on Saturday morning and involved two vehicles. The death has been announced of one of Donald Trump's long-term political adversaries, Robert Mueller. He was 81 and investigated claims of Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election, along with allegations of links between the current US leader and Moscow. Julie Serkin from NBC News has been looking at the reaction from the White House.
The president posting minutes after news broke of Mueller's death at age 81, saying, quote, "Robert Mueller just died. Good. I'm glad he's dead. He can no longer hurt innocent people. President Donald J. Trump."
A man's been arrested on the suspicion of murder after the death of a woman in Bristol. She was in her 30s and was found in the St. Paul's area on Friday morning. And it's thought the Northern Lights could make an appearance over parts of the UK tonight. The Met Office has predicted an aurora is most likely to develop in the sky over Scotland and Northern England. LBC weather cloudy and breezy with some rain for Scotland and Northern Ireland overnight, but mostly clear for England and Wales with patchy frost and fog in some places. We'll see a low of around 2 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation with Nick Abbott.
Nobody knows who the hell he is.
And I can't stand him.
Maria in Edgware says, "Hello, Nick. This is my toy poodle named Simba." And then she forgot to actually attach the picture of her toy poodle. I mean this with love, Maria. You're an idiot. Chris says, I've joined Trump Train MAGA fan club on Facebook to get a first-hand account of the dingalings. I've had 9 posts declined, 5 arguments, and a death threat. Yeah, that sounds like them. Yeah. Bristol, hello, Tiago.
Oh, hi, Nick. How's it going?
Good, thanks.
You know, since everyone's been going on about James O'Brien stealing your soundboard, I thought maybe we could steal from his show and I could give a bit of a mystery hour about how aerated chocolate's made.
How aerated chocolate is made?
Yeah, we've been talking about chocolate with bubbles inside, and I thought we'd have to be interested on how...
Well, let me guess. Do they use science?
Yeah, just a bit of it. Huh. So, you know, like, we talk a lot about shrinkflation these days and how they are, you know, reducing, skimping on absolutely everything.
Yeah.
And aerated chocolate actually, it precedes any sort of shrinkflation. If I'm not mistaken, it came about in, like, 1930s, pre-rationing.
So it was
more... Yeah, so
Was it a deliberate attempt to put less chocolate in a bar, thereby saving themselves money or not having to use as much... is it even chocolate? Or?
Well, there's the thing. It is milk chocolate, and it is what I'm trying to get to. That it was more of a kind of Victorian ingenuity, kind of like, oh, I have a vacuum chamber. What can I expand in this kind of mentality, trying to gain market rather than a ploy to shortchange the consumer.
Yeah, right.
And of course, you know, the war stopped production a few years later, and then it revived in the 50s. But
how do they do it then? I mean, it had never occurred to me that there is some sort of process to capture bubbles in chocolate. And now I'm thinking about it, I can't imagine how they do it. How do they do it?
So there's two ways. So the aero method is kind of vacuum chambers. So you put chocolate as it is setting, and you use vacuum to expand the air that's inside the chocolate itself.
Really?
And then as it sets, the bubbles stay there like Swiss cheese, and then it's coated. Nowadays, with more industrial technology, the process is also aided with additional gases. Most likely CO2, but it can also be nitrous oxide.
Oh, now, wait a minute. Are you telling me that there is nitrous oxide bubbles in chocolate?
No, the bubbles, they don't, the gas doesn't stay inside the chocolate. So it's not like you bite into it and it releases a tiny little amount of nitrous oxide.
Because it seems like that would be a definite selling point.
No, that would be a laughing chocolate.
Yeah, you'll never be so happy as when you eat this chocolate. And kids would be meeting up in car parks to eat it late at night, you know.
Here in Bristol, you can easily find a variety of chocolate that does also make you have a good time.
Oh.
I can hook you up if you want.
No, thank you. I mean, I appreciate the offer, but I'm going to say no. Just say no, kids. In fact, no, say no, thank you. Good manners don't cost nothing, do they?
Be polite!
And do you know why it tastes different as well, like to the mouth flavor of the chocolate?
Does it though?
Well, some people claim that it does, and it's not necessarily to do with any of the things that are added, but it is to do with contact surface in your tongue. Because it melts much faster, it spreads through your tongue, coats your tongue much, much quicker, and then you get much more flavor than if you were chewing and gnawing your way through a solid mass of chocolate.
Huh. I would still prefer a solid mass of chocolate. You can keep the air to yourself.
Well, I was raised like a savage. I do enjoy stuffing my face with a mass of chocolate itself, so I won't judge.
Right.
I thought you'd be interested in finding out about that. I can change the tone and complain about the likes of what's his face, the Simity guy, speaking absurdities earlier this week. Or talk about some serious things, but I thought...
No, I think that is a job well done. Now we know a little bit more about aerated chocolate than we knew before. Educational, this show, no?
No.
Not really, no. But good work. Thanks a lot, Tiago. I should say I appreciate very much the chocolate that people have sent me. Easter eggs I've got. I had little chocolate fishes yesterday. But be aware that if you send it to me directly from you, then I'm not going to eat it. But if you send it, if you get a shop to send it to me, and it comes directly from the shop, then, yeah, that is super duper, and I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Farley says, this is the first time I've ever listened to Nick Abbott. It's like listening to my own internal monologue when ingesting international news. I didn't know how much I needed this, says Farley. Birmingham. Hello, Jason.
Hi, Nick. Hi.
Jason.
Yeah, Nick, just before I talk about my what I meant to phone about, did you see the Afro Man court appearance that he took, I think it was Adam County deputies took him to court?
I don't know what you're talking about. Who's the Afro Man?
Afro Man is a rapper.
Oh.
He's a rapper, and what's happened is he had his house raided in 2022 by the...
Now, wait a minute. Is this a court case that's ongoing?
No, it's ended. It's ended.
Right.
He won it.
Okay.
But what it is, the deputies took him to court because he made footage, because he had CCTV cameras all over his mansion, and basically he used the CCTV footage in his videos to sing about each and every one of the deputies.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is this, hang on a minute, is this a picture of who he's talking about?
This is Afro Man.
Wow. That is, what a sense of dreadful style. He's completely covered in the American flag. He's got American flag shirt and American flag jacket. He's got American flag sunglasses, and that's a little bit too much American flags.
Nick, I tell you, you remember the OJ case, how it was almost worldwide? This is literally lighting up on social media.
I have never heard of him.
Yeah.
But then I've stopped looking at social media. I just don't do that anymore. I don't miss it at all.
Because he made songs and used the video footage, they took him to court. And one of the... somebody on his side was actually one of the head deputy's wife, because that deputy had an affair, so she was on Afro Man's side.
Well, you miss when you don't look at X anymore, eh?
No. And then another thing I was going to say to you is, Trump this week, hear what he said to the Japanese Prime Minister?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Oh, that's just despicable, that is. Absolutely despicable.
Somebody should, at the very least, somebody should take his phone away from him. Yeah.
Anyway, Nick, driverless cars, me and my wife have been in two types of driverless cars.
Driverless?
Driverless cars, yeah.
Where about?
Okay, the first one, you can't get it over here, because I tried to download the app. So in the end, I had to use my wife's niece's husband's phone to get the car, because they live in Las Vegas.
Oh, okay.
Right, so it's called Zoo X. Now, you have to look at that car. The best describe it is, you know, the doors of Audi, the supermarket.
Oh, Aldi. I thought you were saying Audi. Aldi.
No,
right, Aldi.
Aldi. The doors of Aldi supermarket, just imagine that on the side of a car.
But what's significant about the doors of Aldi? Why
right,
Aldi?
The reason why it's Aldi, I say that, is you have to look at the car. It's literally something what a four-year-old would drive, and how the doors open up are like an Aldi shop door.
Right, I don't know what an Aldi shop door opens like. Doesn't it open like a normal door?
Yeah, slides, you know, the two sliding doors.
Oh, it slides, right, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But every supermarket's got those, surely.
Well, like that then. But there's no steering wheel. There's no steering wheel in
that car.
Well,
that sounds alarming.
I know, you sit in it, and then we use that on the strip. So that only runs up and down on the strip.
Oh, okay, right. So that's a little bit... That's kind of like getting on a tram that's...
kind of.
You know, because they have those out in the East End of London, don't they? There's no driver, but it... But mind you, that's on rails, so it's kind of different. So did it stop for people that are walking in front of it?
Yes. What it is, you know, there's a lot of crossroads on the strip.
It's about 30 years since I was in Las Vegas, so it's changed a little bit since I saw it last.
Yeah, well, when we got it anyway, there's a sign places along the strip where it will stop.
Yeah.
Some hotels they can go into, but some they can't. So because we was at the Bellagio, it wouldn't go to the Bellagio. It could stop down just below the Bellagio where the, where you can enter it.
Well, that's rubbish. And, I mean, you want a cab to go where you want it to go, not to where it wants to go.
So we got in there, and it's just it's very, I would say the closest thing to it is that movie that Arnold Schwarzenegger was in.
Well, that's what I'm thinking of.
Affirmative.
Yeah.
But it does stop. It stops for people. It won't move unless you have the seatbelt on.
Really?
Yeah, it won't move.
But
won't
presumably, move. A person could stand in front of it, and it would, and they could stand in front of it for hours, and it wouldn't be able to go, right?
No, it wouldn't move. It wouldn't move.
Yeah, see, I think that's a fundamental design fault, because nobody would stand in front of a car being driven by a person and you know, try to stop traffic, because they don't know what that person has drunk or taken, or they might be furious, and well, they might not see them. They might be busy, you know, on their phone or whatever. But, yeah, I think that, because people are going to mess with those things. They just are. You know, late at night on a Saturday, people will bowl out of a pub or a bar, and they're just going to stand in the road, and they're going to stop those cars for fun.
Well, my nephew, my wife's niece's husband told me when they do go wrong, because sometimes they do go wrong, what they tend to do is find the nearest crossing, road crossing, and what they tend to do is go around and around in a circle. Now, they do that. Now, the next one we went on was the one in Santa Monica, in Santa Monica, and that's a Waymo. And I had the app for that one, and they're known for doing that. And they're Jaguar I-Paces with all the cameras and radars and all that fitted on there.
No, I don't like that idea at all.
Yeah.
But I have been updated with the song of, what's the name of that guy again, with the American flag suit?
Oh, Afro Man.
Afro Man, yeah. I've got the lyrics of one of his top tunes in front of me, and I'll regale that to you in just a moment. I've got to go, Jason, but thanks for that. Apparently he wrote this song. I was going to clean my room until I got high. I was going to get up and find the broom, and then I got high. My room is still messed up, and I don't know why. Oh, and I know why. Because I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high. That rings a bell. I know that song. I had no idea that that was who did it, but I have heard that song. And that is another excellent reason not to get high, kids. Just say no thank you.
Be polite.
This is LBC.
A lot of legal decisions in this country are made by magistrates. Volunteers, like you and me, working as a team to make decisions on cases in criminal or family courts with support from legal advisors. You don't need specific qualifications or experience. I'm an electrician myself, but you could be anything. A teacher, a delivery driver, unemployed. With ongoing support, you'll learn new skills, enjoy new challenges, and help create positive change for your community. Volunteer at icanbeamagistrate.co.uk.
The Famous Five are on the train to Cardiff, planning their Welsh adventure. Did you know Wales is absolutely bursting with myths and legends, says Anne? And number one on my list is the legend of the Red Dragon. Then tomorrow we'll look for the legendary fairies of Penold Castle, adds Dick. But first, let's try the legendary Welsh cakes, quips George. Yes, let's start there, laughs Anne. Great Western Railway. Legendary adventures start here.
Approval.
Leading Britain's conversation. Nick Abbott. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
I'm not a big fan of his brain.
0345-6060-973. Bodmin. Hello, Malcolm.
Good evening, Nick.
Malcolm.
This show is like science tonight.
Is it?
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, serious point, and maybe I should be making it on tomorrow's show rather than this evening. Mm. By the way, it'll give you some ammunition to throw at your serious guest tomorrow night, and it's this. There's all this thing in the Middle East is all about the bend of the bent of Hormuz, yeah?
Yeah.
Now, the bent of Hormuz is in the Gulf of whatever, right? Persian Gulf. Persian Gulf, right? And south of that, you've got the Gulf of whatever it is, right?
Oman is in there somewhere. The Gulf of Oman. Right, right.
What I really don't get, Nick, is this. And Starmer knows it, I think. Macron knows it. The German leader, Wirtz, knows it. They all know it. And the solution is this. You don't worry about the Straits of Hormuz for this one simple reason. All the oil that is sold to the West, and remember, we're not fretting about the Strait of Hormuz because we want our oil to come out. We're worried because we've got, for example, Lloyd's of London. We've got shipping companies flagged here, and we have companies who own ships here, right? So we're simply worried about the movement of the Gulf oil by sea along that waterway. But the thing is this, look, Nick, there's a very simple solution. We're not going to need oil much more than the next 30 years for combustion and heating, right?
Hopefully.
But in other words, oil for our, for petrol for our cars and planes,
yeah,
and for oil for in our homes and power stations and all of that, right? So all we're going to need oil for, I would say, within 30 years, is for making plastics and for making chemicals.
Right.
So for me, Nick, the countries that sell to the West, as it were, because Iran mainly sells to India, China, and Russia, right? All of the people who sell us oil, they can simply have a pipeline up to the Mediterranean and a pipeline down to the Gulf, the Persian Gulf, right? And those pipelines will be safe on land. And that oil...
Why would they be safe on land? I mean, it seems like they'd be wide open for sort of attack.
But they're going to be in countries, Nick, like Saudi, all countries south of this waterway, right, Nick? And they can be protected easier on land than they're finding with...
I'm not sure that that's true. I mean, how are you going to protect... how are you going to protect a pipe that goes all the way across the country? You're going to have people stationed every 100 yards.
Well, how is protecting big tankers going, Nick?
Well, at the moment, it's going terribly, but there's no indication why the, like, if people wanted to disrupt supply, I mean, all they'd have to do is attach a limpet mine to a bit of pipe in the middle of a desert somewhere, and then there it goes.
But the point I make is, Nick, that the pipelines could easily go from these countries, they could bury them underground, because if we're talking, way too expensive.
Bury them underground.
But, Nicky, look, what do you think the cost of this war is? What do you think of the cost of keeping the Straits of Hormuz it will be? Think only in lives, let alone the cost of the ships and the insurance.
But people will just want to go back to how it was. They won't want
to
have to build a new... you don't know that. They don't want to have to
build... I do know that, Nick.
Silence. They don't...
Okay.
They don't want to have to build a whole...
Be
quiet.
Let's move on.
They don't want to have to build an entire new system of getting the oil out. And pipes can only carry a certain amount of oil. It can only be so big. Whereas ships, you can send more ships in if you need more oil.
But Nick, all I'm saying is that the oil would simply go from the oil fields to a port, and then it will go into tankers in the Mediterranean, in Israel, in Egypt, or whatever, right?
Right.
And then in the south, it will go from... the pipeline
in
Oman.
But if somebody with evil intent wanted to disrupt the supply, then they'd be able to do it very well if it went on pipes, which would be hoisted above the ground because burying them is too expensive.
Not as easy as the Strait of Hormuz, Nick. And mark my words, this thing isn't ending soon. Anyway.
Mark your words. You don't know what you're talking about. You're just guessing like everybody else is. Mark my words.
Logic, my friend, logic.
No, it isn't logic. You're just guessing.
Nothing
you've said so far is logical.
Nick. This has been a good show tonight. I thought Sophie and you, the banter was brilliant. And I thought Jan and you, the banter was brilliant. But the egg... And what was the other one? The potatoes.
Oh, yeah.
two brilliant phone calls. But to Starmer, Nick, I think that Starmer is having another fantastic week. Who's talking about Starmer this week? Nobody again.
Well, that's very true, yeah. Well, we've got a little thing called World War III to be concerned about. But Keir Starmer seems to have... I mean, he's not exactly our number one favourite person in this country, but he's off the naughty list to some extent. Yeah.
And you're seeing that Farage and Badenoch are having some really bad press, I think, because they've just been shown for the naive ignorant.
Maybe the polls, they lag a bit behind people's opinions. You know, because opinions change, but I think polling sort of tells people how people thought a couple of weeks ago, you know, before taking on board whatever has happened just recently. And the Tories and the Labour Party are almost neck and neck. In fact, I think the last poll I saw was they were both on 17%. Exactly the same. And Reform had dropped a bit, but they were still number one. So, you know, I think the death of Reform has been somewhat overstated.
I sent a text in, I think it was Monday or Tuesday of this week when an afternoon, a right-wing afternoon show host, blatantly and so well, but the word failed me for this example, but blatantly said the right-wing are clearly leading politics in Britain. Well, if you add up the Tories and Reform... Mm-hmm. In a poll which was done, I think, on a week and a half ago, they came to 43%.
Right, that's pretty much the exact figure that I got, 43%. And if you add up all the middling 57. Or lefty passes, 57, I didn't get 57, I got 50.
All right, well, 43.
I mean, which parties are you adding up?
Well, everybody bar those two.
Oh, right. Okay. Because I didn't do the SNP and I didn't do Plaid Cymru.
But none of those are to the right, Nick.
They're centre-right.
But they're not left.
No.
The SNP is left.
But
Plaid aren't.
Having said that, what they might have meant was that the right-wing parties are still making all of the running because they're the ones that have the British press in their pocket. And the British press are putting a megaphone up to the right-wing parties.
They talk
the loudest, and it makes people think that they are in the majority, but they aren't.
Thus, Warbrick said that the right are clearly leading politics, Nick, in Britain. They're leading. I mean, he literally said they're leading the polls. But I think, Nick, that if you were to poll European leaders about, for example, Trump or Starmer, or anybody on the right in Britain and Starmer, I don't think there'll be a country in the free world who would say that anybody in the on the right here or Trump are correct.
Well, if you look at the polling, never mind that polling about who people are going to vote for, there was a poll, in fact several, that asked people who would be the best prime minister in this country. If nobody was doing it right now, who would do the best job as prime minister in this country? And Keir Starmer beat everybody, except for Ed Davey, which is kind of weird.
Well, apparently he's done something this evening which isn't looking great. He's done some kind of social media thing.
Ed Davey?
Look it up. I think it's gone down rather badly.
Well, what was it? I mean, can't look it up. I'm doing a show.
I can't remember, Nick. They showed the clip. I heard the criticism of Davey. I looked up. I saw him. And he looked like he was in a functional, almost like in a party situation or you know. And
what? You mean having a party?
What?
Like that?
On the party, no. I think he might be starting to come up against some criticism within and without of.
Right. Well, I'm looking it up, but I can't see anything. Ed Davey is not the man to save Britain, but that's just some bloke posting on X. Why haven't the Lib Dems ditched Ed Davey yet? Says the Spectator.
It's a bit too new for that.
Okay, a bit too much new news. Right.
Yeah,
okay.
Sky News review argument, newspaper review.
All right. I'll look it up later. Excellent work. Thanks a lot, Malcolm. 0345 6060 973. I've still got your Meghan Markle update. And maybe get into why Ed Miliband was getting it in the neck from the right-wing press. Oh, and Fag Ash has got one of his revenue streams dried up. Plenty to talk about. Stephen St. Anne says, Trump has no morals whatsoever. A horrible, greedy, stupid man. Oh, right. I didn't know that. Thanks, Steve. Christine says, how dare the Pope criticize Trump when we all know that nobody has done more for Christianity or evangelicals or for religion itself than me?
You know, nobody has done more for Christianity. Nobody has done more for religion of all type than me.
Religion of all types than him. Can you imagine saying that out loud? It's extraordinary the amount of leeway that even people who don't like him give Donald Trump. I mean, they would give it to no other politician, either living now or who has ever lived. People just say, oh, he's just Donald. You know, it's just him. Yeah, but imagine if Keir Starmer had said that. Nobody has done more for religion of all kinds than me. I mean, think of those words coming out of anybody else's mouth. Bognor Regis, Eve in Bognor Regis says, Nick, how are the parakeets doing? Well, I would touch wood. Oh, there's some wood there. They seem to have left the area. I'm so happy. I was very, very concerned because I watched them with mounting alarm and they were trying to get into a hole in the side of a house, which looked like one of those vents that they have for bathrooms and that. And it was a hole in the side of the house and they were flapping around it. It was like they were trying to get in, but I think it was a little bit too small for them. And they appear to have given up and left the area. And I would encourage them to continue doing that, lest I have to get a man in to correct them. 0345-6060-973. You can text 84850. Email nicka@lbc.co.uk. If you are on WhatsApp, it's the same number as the phone. 0345-6060-973. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10. Nick Abbott, LBC. It's 12:30. The news headlines with Tim Daly.
President Trump has issued Iran with a 48-hour ultimatum on the Strait of Hormuz. He says the U.S. will hit and obliterate its power plants if it does not fully reopen the shipping route in the next 2 days. A woman's died and three other people are in hospital after a crash on the A1 in East Lothian. It happened near Torness Power Station on Saturday morning. And it's thought the Northern Lights could make an appearance over parts of the U.K. tonight. The Met Office is predicting an aurora is most likely to appear in the sky over Scotland and Northern England. LBC weather, cloudy, breezy and some rain for Scotland and Northern Ireland overnight, but mostly clear for England and Wales with patchy frost and fog in places. We'll see a low of around 2 degrees.
This is LBC.
This time last year, Hassan was working in sales and spent his evenings gaming. Now he's working as a prison officer.
You know what's going to happen, it's not worth it. Let's just go in there.
He's tackled cell fires, got through to some of the most challenging prisoners, and helped support their rehabilitation. He's done things he once thought he was never capable of, but he still loves his gaming. An extraordinary job done by someone like you. Search prison jobs now.
The next sale. At least 50% off all next sale items. Now on, in store and online. Check stores for opening times while stocks last.
I found the piece I missed out on last season.
I found that nothing works up an appetite quite like clever shopping.
It's a perfect day to find what you're looking for at Vista Village.
I found a place where I can have it all.
It's just a short drive away, and you'll find every day feels like a sale. Vista Village. What will you find?
On LBC, call 0345 6060 973.
You're wondering what it's all about, and I can't tell you because I don't know myself.
Mystified. You can call me Mr. Fide. Simon in Bray says, I went to a political event on Thursday, which was held in a location in the Westminster area. I got out at Westminster Station and had forgotten how impressive the Houses of Parliament look when the sun is out. It doesn't look like it needs billions of pounds spent on it, but I'm no surveyor, says Simon. It don't half look good from the outside. I mean, from the inside, it does, from the brief period that I was there, it does look a bit tired. Smells a bit too. Like cabbage, you know. But they have cleaned the Elizabeth Tower, as people insist on calling it. Everybody thinks it's Big Ben, and so do I. They've cleaned the outside of that, and they've given it a lick of paint, and it looks absolutely blooming fantastic. It really does. the clock face and all of those little pins of gold and little coloured bits here and there on it looked absolutely marvellous. It's a credit to the nation. Let's see now. Tooting. Hello, Jan.
Hi. Good morning, Nick.
Jan.
Yeah. Before I get onto this AI business, I thought I'd see. Have you been to the Chelsea Flower Show this year?
I've never been to the Chelsea Flower Show. It costs too blooming much.
Oh, I see. They've got something rather Aphrodite's a love garden there.
Oh. Really?
Disgusting.
I mean, they say it's a taboo-breaking exhibition. Not exhibition.
What, where children can see it?
No, I mean, it's plants.
Yeah.
But I mean, I never think... You don't think much about plants having a sex life, do you? I mean, I don't mean you, but I mean, we don't... But it's they say it's a bit of a taboo thing.
Yeah, it is.
They're using plants to tell stories.
Right.
About love.
I'm just looking up how much it costs to go. You know how much it costs to go?
No.
£107. pounds.
Really?
£107.
Pounds. The Kew Gardens, then. You like Kew Gardens, don't you?
Yeah, or, if you're a member, 96. That's terrible.
I would think it had to do something with... had something to do with petrol or all this trouble with...
£107.
Oh, no, I had no idea.
That is
shocking.
Well,
forget about it, then.
Forget about it. Yeah,
I just read about it, a little bit about it in the eye. But,
I'd be interested in going, but who can just throw that kind of money away on, like, a couple of hours of
especially
amusement?
Now, yeah, exactly. Especially now. Yeah, but, Nick...
I think it's priced that way to keep the riffraff out, like you and... I mean it. I think they just don't want the likes of you and me going, Jan.
Oh yeah, it's a main society event, isn't it?
Yeah.
For the world.
Exactly. The people who don't care about money. Yeah.
Nick, so I was ringing up. I was quite surprised to find out about this thing. About, I can't believe it. You know, the other day you mentioned something about growing meat from in the
meat cells. This was on my Serious Sunday show.
From
we were talking about
cells.
Yeah, meat is now grown in laboratories, and it will be appearing on a supermarket shelf near you soon.
No, I've been a vegan for 30 years, so I'm staying a vegan.
But would it be actually against your beliefs, because it's not from an animal; it's from a laboratory.
No, but I believe the vegetables and nuts, and I have a wonderful diet, because I raid all the cuisines around the world for some of the loveliest dishes, and you would love them. You wouldn't want to, you know, you can make some wonderful dishes with nuts and all kinds of things.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so.
Yes, no, you can. No, but Nick, seriously, no, it's not to do with about. It's not just killing animals. I just believe I'm on a healthier option for myself.
But human beings were made to eat everything. I mean, we were
not really,
absolutely. We're omnivorous. We eat everything. We like berries and nuts and all that gathering stuff. But we also have, right back for as far as you can remember, like to the 1960s, for instance. We eat meat. We go out and hunt the buffalo.
No, but Nick,
whatever
Nick,
it was passes our eyes.
Nick,
yes.
You know what I did? I mentioned that in relation to what I found out about data centers for the brain cells. Actual human brain cells are being used to make neural chips for computers.
No.
Yes, this was, I picked this up in The New Scientist, the latest issue of The New Scientist. I can't believe it. So in Australia, they're using a data centre, they're using the labs are building up a biological data centre because it'll use less electricity.
Right. Okay, I'm looking at it now. One moment, please.
Yeah, data scientists to use human brain cells.
Scientists grow mini human brains to power computers. Well, that sounds like a terrible idea.
Yeah, but I know, I'm so shocked. I thought I'd have to call you about it because
there's a picture of a scientist actually...
Where do they get the cells from?
Actually holding bits of brain in Petri dishes.
Nick, where do they get the... What I'm the sinister side of it is, where are they getting the brain cells from?
Inside people's heads?
But because I've been thinking, I've been wondering about that, because they say that, look, because there's a huge problem with these with the actual humanoid robots, the training labs, and the way we can't, I mean, they can't actually verify whether what the AI is giving.
But they're making it, but they don't really understand it, and they don't really understand what AI is doing when they put the plug in the wall and they press play. Yeah, they got no idea.
Yeah, they don't. They can't work out whether it's that you can't verify what the information they're giving you. And apparently, in China, where they're doing humanoid robot training labs, where they have them, they say it can take, what is it? Oh, it can take hundreds of millions of, even billions of hours of data to train these humanoid robots.
I don't know what that means. Okay, this is the story from The Guardian. It sounds like the opening of a sci-fi film, but US scientists really recently uploaded a copy of the brain of a living fly into a simulation.
Oh, wow.
In San Francisco, biotechnology Eon Systems created a virtual insect that knew how to walk, fly, groom, and feed in its virtual environment. Researchers in Australia, meanwhile, have taught a Petri dish containing 200,000 human brain cells to play the iconic 90s shooter game Doom.
Yes.
One experiment has pushed a brain into a computer. The other has plugged a computer into brain cells. Oh, please, stop doing this stuff. Have you not seen science fiction films?
Nick, but quickly, added to this is this thing about... apparently people with who can afford a few grand on a second on a car can get these robots, humanoid robots, to do things, and it's actually taken off as a business, apparently. That's another thing.
Why would anybody want Elon Musk is his next project is, he's gonna stop making cars because people didn't like him leaping about on stage celebrating firing hundreds of thousands of decent people, and they didn't like him anymore, so they're not buying his cars. So he thinks that we're going to buy a robot that is that has been programmed by him, you know, the guy that did the double Heil, how are you? That guy?
Yeah.
Do you want a robot in your house that has been programmed by that guy?
Yeah, that's what they say. That in the same New Scientist thing, they've got the thing about how actually people are buying robots. You can buy a robot for a few thousand pounds. And apparently last year, 40 new models of robots were made by companies worldwide.
They're deluded. People are not going to want that in their house. They just aren't.
Yeah, they say, look, people may think they've bought a friend to do things in their house, but they've bought a spy.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah.
Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Spying in on them.
No one's going to want that. I mean, the only way in which I think people might is if people who are on their own or they need some sort of physical help.
Well, in Japan, they use them, Nick. They use them to look after the elderly, and that's the thing that they say the West might use, because there won't be enough people to look after
the elderly relatives. This is the story. In computer science nerdland, there's obsession with getting Doom. I don't know anything about Doom, but it's one of these video games to run
on everything,
from calculators to microwaves. This is the CEO of Cortical Labs. He said, as soon as we managed to get Pong to work... You remember Pong?
Pong?
Yeah, it was the first video game. It was the tennis game with the bats that go up and down. It was the simplest thing. And the bats... Very quickly, the bats started shaking around, so it was impossible to actually hit this tennis... It's a game of tennis, basically, on a screen with... That was the first one. I had that. Everybody had that.
Yeah, I think I can.
As soon as we managed to get Pong to work, the first people said was, when are you going to do Doom? They plugged a human brain, essentially, into a computer, and they're making it play video games. Like shoot 'em up video. I don't know what Doom is about, but I would assume that it involves killing a lot of people.
Oh, gosh.
Does
what
it?
Are they doing?
This seems nuts. I mean, the same people that are doing this are also the same people who are saying, well, the human race has a 25% chance of surviving AI.
But, Nick, where are they getting the brain cells? No, seriously, where are they getting the brain cells from, the human brain cells? Because they can't just, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or is it people who have... That's what I find a bit disturbing.
Well, you would hope that they're getting it from dead people rather than killing people in order to get their
but
brains.
How can they bring them back to life? Oh, like they can... like the meat, you mean? How they can grow meat in... Yeah, but the meat is dead. Oh, I don't get it. It's weird.
Yeah, it is. It's a bit too weird to contemplate. And now, I
but
do
it's
believe
it's happening. It's happening.
I know. They should stop it happening. They should stop it right now. I mean, if the people who are making it don't know how to control it, they don't know what it's thinking. They don't know why it sometimes hallucinates. They've got no control over it, essentially. And are telling us that the human race may be in great danger because of it, they should stop doing it. But they can't. And I'll tell you why. Money. Because they are petrified that if somebody else gets it to work, and they're the ones that make everybody go to them for that product, you know, they make it generic. It's like a Hoover. Everybody says Hoover when they mean vacuum cleaner. If they can get that and be completely dominant in the market, then the money that's going to flow from that is just going to be astronomical. And the people that are obsessed about making money are the richest people that the world has ever seen.
But you know this thing about China. In China, they've got these humanoid robot training labs, and they say the robots work all right in an industrial environment, but not for in people's homes. You know what I mean? But the thing is, I mean, it's as I say, it's millions and millions of hours of data that they need to. I don't know. They talk about these large language models used in robotics. But it's big in China. No, I mean, the China bankrolls these humanoid robot training labs.
Yeah, well, I don't want a Chinese one. I don't want one by Elon Musk or any of those things. I want a robot-free environment around me at all times.
Yeah, I'd be scared of them because
yes. Because at some point, Jan, they're going to become self-aware.
Autonomous.
Yeah, and then we'll be screwed. I've seen that film loads of times. All right, thanks a lot, Jan. Now you really freaked me out. Gotta go. 0345-6060-973, LBC.
Coming up at 1 on LBC, Clive Ball.
The government has outlined funding this morning of £333 million to boost high streets and town centres. How can we reverse the decline of local neighbourhoods?
Clive Ball at 1. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
Chase is the digital bank that boosts your savings to 4.5% AER variable.
A boost?
Yep. It includes a 2.25% AER boost for the first 12 months.
Are they being boosted now?
All the time. Bedtime, gym time, romantic dinner time. And soon you could boost your way to...
beach time.
Boost your savings with Chase. Search Chase Boosted Saver. 18 plus UK residents available to new Chase current account customers for their first 31 days. 4.41% gross interest paid monthly. Eligibility and T's and C's apply.
Hi, I'm Sava, founder of Cool You. And when it comes to getting aircon into London's hot and stuffy apartments and listed buildings, I'm the daddy. For years, Cool You have supplied and installed fully internal aircon systems with no mess, no fuss, and no external condensers. So head to coolyou.london today. Cool You, for a cool, comfortable home.
Dating apps? Easy. Online shopping? Simple. Banking app? Sorted. Life admin? Ugh. That's what a digital ID could change. And the government is opening a conversation to make it work for you. Your voice will shape the final product. So search Digital ID Consultation to have your say. Digital ID, making public services work for you.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics, with over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
This is LBC with Nick Abbott. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
Come on, we're running late!
We are running late. Nick in Larnaca says, how many points would Trump be worth in a game of top Trumps?
Maybe four?
Four. Simon in Bray says, I think you mentioned fax machines with a caller earlier on. It was one of the few items of technology that has been introduced during my lifetime and then been discarded. He says, lots of things existed before I was born and were then discontinued, but nothing within my lifetime. Well, you missed out a crucial detail there, Simon. How old are you? I mean, there's just no end of things that have been discontinued in my lifetime, that were invented and then discarded during my lifetime. Now, I don't know when fax machines were invented. And I'm trying to think of an example that I can give and I can't. But there must have been things that had been introduced during my lifetime and that had then been discarded. Well, I've mentioned this a few times. There is a picture in the Science Museum of a cab rank in New York, and I think it's like 1898, something like that. And the description of the picture is, this is the cab, these are the cabs in New York in 1898, all of which were battery powered in 1898. All of the cabs in New York at that time were battery powered. So there was something that was introduced before my lifetime that was then discarded and has now been taken up again. I know that's not what you asked, but yeah. Things that have been introduced during my lifetime and then been discarded. Can't think of any at the moment, but there must be a boatload. Mick in Canterbury says, the caller who was talking about holy chocolate and wafer things, wafer thin ham, was spot on. Excuse the punctuation. I was rushed into hospital yesterday morning with acute pancreatitis and have been doped up on morphine ever since. It's great, he says. He says, the podcast is getting me through this difficult time. Oh, well, I'm glad to hear it, Mick. Hey, by the way, me and Carol, we are back.
Oh, right, yeah.
We have been away for 5 weeks, and we're very, very apologetic about that.
I am very sorry that I screwed up.
We are. We are sorry.
Totally screwed. I mean, I am so sorry.
We are. We are.
Sorry, I am. I am sorry.
Yeah, it wasn't me. It was both of us. And we went away for about 5 weeks, and we're very, very apologetic. We're very sorry about that. But we're back. And if you want to get your problem on our podcast, then simply send it to the following address, because it's a problem-solving podcast. And we feel particularly bad because we left people without assistance. They looked to us for help with their everyday problems, and we weren't there to give it to them. And we're very apologetic. We're sorry. But we're back. We're back on Mondays and Thursdays, and the first one back will be this coming Monday. And if you want your problem solved, then simply send it to the following address, nickandcarol@global.com. That is nickandcarol@global.com, and prepare to be totally satisfied.
Oh, right, yeah.
Ask for it by name on an internet near you. What's your problem with Nick and Carol? There's over 300 episodes up there to enjoy. And the first one of this new season is going to come out on Monday and then again on Thursday and at that time every week subsequently. It's called What's Your Problem with Nick and Carol? David says, I asked ChatGPT about your claim that Wikipedia once said you had a tail. It said that that is the sort of thing that Nick Abbott would say to wind up and troll his listeners. You wouldn't do that, would you, Nick? Says David. No, I wouldn't do that. It actually said that. My Wikipedia entry said that. I don't think it says it now, but it most definitely did before. Somebody alerted me to that fact, and I didn't believe him until I looked it up myself. And there it is. Or there it was. Nick Abbott has a tail. It's the kind of tail that you can use as a third hand and hang upside down from a tree with. I think they're called vestigial Something like that. The internet knows. Suzanne says, can I tip your glamorous assistant with cat food? Cats aren't cheap to keep these days. Well, is that a yes or a no? She's thinking about it. I think she'd prefer money. Karen says, eggs have to be beaten before scrambling, but I also sieve it into the pan to remove the stringy bits, which works best. Oh, just eat them, Karen. Stop being so picky. I mean, people have been eating eggs for, you know, ever. They've been eating eggs ever since they got laid. And once it's cooked, you can't tell that it's got that stringy bit, whatever that's called. But now you've brought that to my attention, I'm always going to be thinking about it from now on. So thanks for that. Spence in County Antrim says, thinly sliced Mars bar and apple sandwich. Scrum diddly umptious, you can thank me later. No, wait, you can thank me now. Yeah, I don't think I'm going to do either of those two things. Thinly sliced Mars bar and apple sandwich. Well, now I'm thinking about it. Dinnerda says, peanut butter, honey, banana, not totally ripe, on toast with some cream cheese. Oh, you had me up to peanut butter, honey, banana on and not totally ripe banana on toast with, and then you lost me at cream cheese. That's horrible. And Oz in Clydebank says, McVitie's digestive red Leicester cheese and a dollop of Branston pickle. Well, that's just ordinary food. That's not an extraordinary combination. That's normal, Oz. Or what passes for normal on this show. Regent's Park. Hello, Vance.
Hello, Nick. In answer to the question you've just been raising, where are these human brain cells obtained from? They come from stem cells, and stem cells can be easily extracted from, you know, bone tissue, human bone tissue, and then cultured in the laboratory, and they can be engineered, if you like, to evolve into brain cells or muscle cells or whatever, tissue cells.
You're not going to be able to extract it from my bone tissue. You won't be able to catch me.
Probably not, no. But incidentally, the people who have been leading this research are the Israelis. They've been working on their form of humanoid artificial intelligence for about 15 years.
Really?
I don't like the sound of any of that.
It's all going too fast. If the people that are making it are saying it's all going too fast and we should stop, and then refuse to do so because they might lose some money in the future, then I think we should take their first response and just stop it.
Exactly. Yeah. My first degree was in biochemistry, so I happened to know about this.
Oh, right. Well, you should have called earlier. If only if only we'd spoken to you earlier on. I'm going to bring up the Bloomberg Billionaires Index and tell you how much these people don't need this money that they're so desperate to get.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go. Elon Musk is now worth £641,000 million.
So that's $641 billion.
Exactly. Larry Page, the world's second richest human, £258,000 million.
Yeah, £268 billion.
He's that guy out of Google, right? So is Sergey Brin, £240,000 million. Jeff Bezos, out of Amazon. You're just making noises now, Vance.
Yeah, I know.
You're growling.
Yes, that's my nature.
But that's just alarming. Those the people that are so desperate to get more money have more money than they could ever spend in a thousand lifetimes, and all they think about is getting more. That is a sickness.
Can I just illustrate this briefly, Nick? If you started at 3000 BC with the sort of the ancient kingdom of Egypt,
yes,
not Middle Kingdom, but even before the Middle Kingdom, and if you were a pharaoh or a line of pharaohs, and you set aside $100 million per day, right up to today, you would still not be as rich as the richest man in the world today.
That is totally obscene and also mind-blowing.
Isn't that? Yeah.
All right, thanks for the bad news, Vance. And finally, your Meghan Markle update. These are headlines about Meghan Markle, all in the same paper in the same week. Prince Harry praises Meghan Markle's flower arranging and calls her babe in new family videos showing a glimpse of Lilibet's flowing red hair. Meghan Markle reveals she's reading poetry about motherhood after being sent it by a mom friend as author reacts to royal endorsement. Why the royal family aren't laughing at everything going wrong for Harry and Meghan. Meghan Markle dons strapless £3,000 Ralph Lauren gown for LA charity bash to project inner confidence amid reports of Netflix fallout. Meghan Markle is seen for the first time since reports of her Netflix fallout as she hits the red carpet with best friend Kelly Zajfen. Netflix boss Ted Sarandos unfollows Meghan Markle and as ever on Instagram amid claims he is fed up with the Sussexes. Troubling Harry and Meghan behind-the-scenes whispers from the palace. Royal officials are terrified to speak about them, but one breaks their silence. Meghan Markle's £1,700-a-ticket Girls' Weekend hit by more setbacks as luxury hotel pool is still under construction and resort's beach is polluted after organisers' PR firm goes bust. Inside story of how Meghan has been purged by Netflix, truth about her silencing of Harry and what the out-in-the-cold couple will do next. On the other hand, jumping for joy with Kate. Princess lifts excited three-year-old daughter of Irish Guard soldier into the air before holding hands and sharing very animated faces. Isn't she an absolute dream? Thanks for all of your calls and tweets and such. Couldn't get around to all of them because I'm not very good at my job. I'll be back tonight with my abnormal... I can't remember which way around it is. Anyway, but the Sirius show tonight at 10. This show is available as a podcast. Almost the moment that it finishes, ask for Nick Abbott, the whole show podcast. At 4, James Hansen. Right now, Clyde Ball.
Nick, thank you. Coming up after the news at 1, Donald Trump has just issued an ultimatum to Iran via social media, threatening attacks on Iran if the Strait of Hormuz is not fully open within 48 hours. What do you make of that? Hot air? Or is he a bit too worried? We'll talk about that. Plus, the government's just outlined plans to reverse community decline, as they call it, across the UK, pledging £319 million to improve high streets, public spaces. How would you spend that money, and is it worth saving the high street? Plus, the best place to live in the UK. Is it really Norwich? That and more coming up after the news at 1 on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom... President Trump has issued Iran with a 48-hour ultimatum on the Strait of Hormuz. He says the US will hit and obliterate its power plants if it does not fully reopen the shipping route. More now from LBC's Jonathan Ray.
The Strait is the route used by cargo ships from across the world, but crucially carries around 20% of the planet's oil. The fact it's currently closed to ships of many nations is partly responsible for the dramatic rise in oil prices and also the cost of petrol. Writing on Truth Social, President Trump says Iran needs to reopen the waterway fully and without threat. If it fails to do so within 2 days, he says the US military will destroy the country's largest power station before going on to target every other smaller plant.
This morning, the UK Maritime Trade Operations Centre has announced a vessel's been hit by an unknown projectile off the United Arab Emirates. It says the crew have all been reported as safe. Israel's ambulance service says 10 people were seriously injured during Saturday night's Iranian attacks on the country. The cities of Arad and Dimona were hit after air defense systems failed to intercept all of the missiles. It's now believed a total of 75 people were hurt. More than 8,000 vaccines for meningitis B have been given out since the outbreak in Canterbury, which has killed two people. On Saturday, the number of cases rose from